WPGC.
Hey, Don.
Hey, yeah.
What happened to Debbie?
Debbie who?
Debbie Harry.
Debbie Harry, a blondie?
Yeah, remember when she said she was going to, that she promised that she was going to call again?
Oh, yeah, hold on a minute.
Hi, this is Debbie Harry. Whenever I'm in Washington, I listen to Don Geronimo, WPGC.
There she is.
No,
the only problem is anytime I ask her a question, you know, that's the only thing she says. Debbie, how do you like being here? Did you like calling me again? And all she says is whenever
I'm in Washington. Debbie Harry. Whenever I'm in Washington, I listen to Don Geronimo, WPGC.
It's not very exciting, really. I'm sorry. WPGC. Don Geronimo at my job. Chance of showers tonight. Skies will be cloudy, low 66. Rain on the way on Tuesday, high of 86. Washington temperature is 78. And this is Bob Welch. WPGC, thanking everybody that helped out on the MD telethon. Jerry Lewis, it was a big success. We're going to have a new one next week. You know, to help out needy people with these telethons, do the Don Geronimo Joke-a-thon. Give me some new material. WPGC.
Yeah, John. I mean, Don.
Don?
Yes. Yeah.
Which one of them do you want, John or Don?
Don.
Yes, that's me.
Tom,
who?
Hello?
This is John. Who do you want to talk to?
Yeah, can you all play heavy metal?
No. Are you trying to call WPGC?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have the wrong number.
Oh, okay.
Goodbye. Works every time. WPGC. Our fantasy vacations are back for the fall. It's time you choose where you want to go, either England or Germany. Hold on tight, I'll tell you when to call in and register in a few minutes. WPGC, nearly famous Don Geronimo here. It's your quarter till 9. You probably like me and you read the papers. Front page of the Post today, it says, Bonnie Sauter, former president of Iran in exile. I've been looking on the label here and I can't find his name anywhere. He's playing a tambourine or something on this. Okay. WPGC, exile, and Don Geronimo at 8:52. This is where you get behind the wild bunch again this year with free Redskins tickets for every home game. Elliott Woodside have tickets to the Skins and Giants next Sunday at RFK. They'll have most mornings this week at WPGC. Incidentally, Joe Gibbs assures me that the Redskins will have a new passing attack this week. No problems with the interceptions. We're going to have Joe Theismann open his eyes this week before he throws any passes. WPGC.
Hi.
Hi.
I swear, I did not think I was going to get through to you guys. Do you think you could play a song for me, or is it, like, not request time?
Well, what do you want to hear?
I really, really, you'd never believe I'm a junior in college. I really, really would like to hear, I really want to know you. You know that song?
Yeah, I know that song.
Wait, who am I speaking to?
Mr. Geronimo.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to Don Geronimo now. Oh, my God.
Request a song.
What?
Sorority house.
We're in a sorority at the University of Maryland.
In a sorority house?
Yeah.
Now, just don't think because you're calling me, telling me you know who I am, and because you're in a sorority house, that you're going to get your song played, okay?
Well, can I tell you that your picture is on the hallway of our sorority?
Now, don't think that this cheap stuff is going to work, because it is.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Debbie Harry, whenever I'm in Washington, I listen to Don Geronimo, WPGC.
Here starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Can you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
It's good, man. It's all good. We've been trying to hold it down and, provide some information for the listening audience from another perspective, you know, from the perspective of those of us who did time in prison and have some political consciousness. And
good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thanks for my talking to.
My name is Ralph.
Yes, good morning, Ralph.
And this is the second time I've heard your show, and I have to say that I think it's really great. Now, whom am I speaking with? I didn't catch her name.
Her name?
No, your name.
Oh, my name. My name is Eddie, and I'm the host of the show, Peace and Justice Radio.
Oh, that's great. For a minute, I thought you were Don Geronimo, and he got his voice fixed. Anyway, my crack detector went off.
Yes, get that.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Let's talk about some serious business here.
Yeah.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Dynamite.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Oh!
Yeah!
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
When do I get to touch your breast?
Show me breast! Yes!
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the what?
Whatever you want to call it, organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that?
Dad, I've lived in the house all my life. I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusimano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusimano kids ever find $50,000 in Fugarans and a 45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
I'm in the waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up. It's a stereotype, and it's offensive. And you're the last person I would want to perpetuate.
Fine.
There is no mafia.
Keep killing me.
You know something? After watching the mulattoes shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part, the abs.
Where is Jeff Spicoli? I saw him earlier today near the first floor bathrooms. Is he still on campus? Anyone? Yes, Desmond?
I saw him by the food machines.
How long ago?
Right before class.
Okay. Bring him in. What is this fascination with truancy? What is it that gets inside your heads? There are some teachers in this school who look the other way at truants. It's a little game that you both play. They pretend they don't see you. You pretend you don't ditch. Now, who pays the price later? You.
Wait a minute. There's no birthday party here. Armstrong.
What's the reason for your truancy?
Just couldn't make it on time.
You mean you couldn't or you wouldn't?
It was like a full crowd seeing the food lines.
Food will be eaten on your time. Why are you continuously late for this class, Mr. Spicoli? Why do you shamelessly waste my time like this?
I don't know.
I've had it a bit here with the likes of you people.
Yes, I agree. It's odd and kind of funny.
When you look at the black race, black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance. If you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it. White people were blessed with the gift of structure and organization. You guys do a good job of building businesses and things of that nature. And you know how to tap into money pretty much better than a lot of people do around the world. Hispanics were gifted in family structure. And you can see a Hispanic person, and they could put 20, 30 people in one home. They were gifted in the family structure. When you look at the Asian is very gifted in creation, creativity, and inventions. If you go to Japan or any Asian country, they can turn a television into a watch. They're very creative. Then you look at the Indians. They've been very gifted in the spirituality. When you put all of that together, guess what it makes? It forms a complete image of God.
Lawrence.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
Tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
That's it? You had $1 million and you'd do two chicks at the same time?
Damn straight. I always wanted to do that, man. I think if I were a millionaire, I could hook that up, too, because chicks dig dudes with money.
Well, not all chicks.
Well, the type of chicks that double up on a dude like me do.
Good point.
I went up to the beach this weekend.
Was it that you said you ran into some celebrities?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's always a little good that comes with the bad. Mm-hmm. Or there's always a little bad that comes with the good.
Right.
I met the celebrities because of something bad that happened to me. You know, I've been driving my car with these two tires that are nearly bald. And I know I've been pressing my luck on that. Like, a couple of times I've gone into the place and said, hey, I need some new tires. And they've said always, like, oh, it'll take us a day to get the tires. And
because last time you had a front end alignment on that vehicle?
On that car? When I bought it. But the front end is fine.
It's so you think.
It's the back end.
Right, is that the one where the tires are going out?
Right. Now, I've had new tires put on the front,
mm-hmm.
but because I would always have to wait a day for the tires, I never had it done in the back. Okay? And I've had a couple of flats in the back, and I've filled it up with that fix-a-flat stuff.
Just kept on driving, saying, you know, you'll wait till they, you know, they're supposed, you know what they're supposed
That's
to be?
That's my motto. It'll wait.
Fix-a-flat is supposed to be good for, you ready for this, about 45 miles.
I've driven it for 40,000 miles on fix-a-flat. Forget about it. So I'm out doing errands on Saturday. I'm up in Ocean City. And all of a sudden, the wheel starts shimmying a little bit. Now, you know me. I'm not very mechanical.
Steering wheel starting to vibrate. What the hell is that?
So I think, here's how I rationalize it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's probably because I'm down here with all the salt in the air.
Right.
That's really what I thought.
That's what's causing the automobile.
I'm driving on Coastal Highway. There's salt in the air.
And that's the air that's causing this car to, like, vibrate off the road.
Must be getting into the brake pads or so, because it didn't vibrate badly at first.
So it would vibrate a little bit, and then when you come to, like, a stop, it would...
Well, I didn't even come to a stop. I mean, I happened to make a turn onto Route 90.
Right.
And I didn't have to stop, so it was just vibrating a little. I didn't think anything of it. All of a sudden, boom, 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 it's like going up and down, up and down, up and down like that. So I pull off on the side of the road.
See the smoke?
And so embarrassing. The tire, it's totally destroyed. I mean, it's not like I got a flat.
Right.
It's like you can see the tire is bald.
There's some rubber on the rim, but not a lot of it, right?
And it's ripped to the point where you can see the metal coming through.
That would be the rim.
No. The metal inside the tire.
Oh, it's like really chewed up.
Right. Now, I'm just lucky that I wasn't driving on the rims and that I didn't wreck the rotors.
Right.
So I got the car off on the side of the road, and I think, well, I'm a real man.
Mm-hmm.
I can jack it up and just change the tire.
Yeah.
I lift up the little back, and I realize I have one of those little donuts.
Oh.
I don't even have a real tire. I have, like, one of those temporary tires.
You don't have the full-size spare.
No.
Oh, that's a bummer. I hate it when you have the baby spare tire.
So I get out the jack.
It's good for another 40,000 miles.
I get out the jack. You're not supposed to drive over 50 miles an hour on the temporary tire. So I get out the jack. That's why I don't have my car with me today.
Yeah, otherwise, you would have been coming in with a baby tire.
Right. I get out the jack, and I realize I get five of the lug nuts off.
Right.
The sixth one will not come off.
Fused on there.
I mean, I'm mad. I'm really mad. So I finally use the car phone. The AAA guy comes out like an hour later.
Do you think maybe the heat of the tire itself had caused the bolt to like melt?
As it turns out, there's a lock. My car has a lock.
Oh, really?
On the last lug nut.
So nobody can steal your hubcap.
Right. And apparently, if I had taken the time to read the book says, listen, idiot, there's a lock on the last lug nut, and here underneath the trunk is where you find the thing that unlocks the last one.
Did the AAA guy know that right away?
Yeah, immediately. He came out and I said...
I wouldn't have known that either.
He came out and he said, hey, what's the problem? He was a nice guy.
Right.
Kind of inbred looking. And like an Amishy beard where he had all beard but no mustache.
Why don't you come back to the shop whilst we fix your tire?
A little deliverance-y looking.
I have a cot back there that I rest on during my long days.
He comes out and he says, well, I could get five of the lug nuts loosened, but I couldn't get the sixth.
Right.
And he says, well, there's a good reason it's got a lock. So he goes to the back and he finds a thing, and then now the lock won't move. the lock won't move. And he figures out the lock won't move because with my brute strength trying to just get the lug nut off.
You've gone too far the other way.
I have cracked the lock.
It's pretty strong, though.
Cracked the lock. Strong as bull. So I cracked the lock, which means that now they can't just take the tire off and put the temporary tire on. Now the car has to be towed in to the dealership so the dealership can have the special tool.
Did you ride up in the cab with his other brother, Daryl?
Oh, yes, I did.
Was it just him?
Yeah, it was just him. And he's great. He was a real man's man.
There you go.
He gave me a ride home, you know, which he didn't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were heading home, the guy on the CB radio was coming on telling him,
Got another job for you. I got a car that needs a spare change. Also got a car that needs to have a jump start.
So he's a busy guy and he's helping you out.
Yeah, but now I know why it took 2 hours for AAA to get to my wife the other night. Because you know what he did? He said, F that. I'm my own boss. Turn the radio off. He just turned the radio off.
That's good. That's good.
So we're just driving down the road, me and him in the big-ass tow truck.
He didn't try anything or anything like that, did he?
Nothing I didn't want him to do.
You wanted to say thank you for coming to the rescue.
So we got home, and he said, I'll try to get this done by the end of the day.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, this is Saturday. I don't hear from them Saturday.
Right.
Sunday, I call on Sunday. They said, we still don't have the part from the Toyota dealership because you cracked the lock on your lock.
Your car being driven by some wise guy up in Atlantic City right now? Or?
No, at this point, it's just at the Goodyear place.
Okay.
It's just sitting out there, right? So, finally this morning, the guy calls and says, we got some good news and some bad news. The good news is, we got the tool, we were able to get the tire off. The bad news is, obviously you need at least one tire for the tire that's shredded, you need another tire. We have to order that tire from Atlanta.
Ugh.
He says, so, you're not going to be able to have your car today.
I'm a drag.
That's why today I'm driving the new car that I bought
Saturn,
my mother-in-law.
Which I really, when I was at, you were coming in and I was going out to get
a
sandwich.
You didn't even recognize me, did
I didn't
you?
Recognize you until I saw you because you were driving that Saturn that you bought for your mother-in-law.
I told my mother-in-law, that's a nice scam, isn't it? And I buy you a car and then a week later I come down and I drive it home.
That's terrific. I mean, and that's the brand new car right there.
Yeah, brand new. She's a very brave woman to let me drive her brand new car.
You got a chance to have a real nice test drive with it. And how did you find the vehicle?
It held up to my tough standards, Mike.
Very good. That's good.
Held up.
You didn't look right in that car. You just didn't. I mean, it didn't fit you. The car that you got, obviously.
I'm too cool for a Saturn. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
I would tend to agree with you there.
It just, that's why, you know, it was like, you came in, you had this big grin on your face, like, you know, here I am, I'm driving my mother-in-law's Saturn, and I was just shocked when I drove by you there.
So here's the point of all this. I got to wait a couple of days to get my car. So I'm driving my mother-in-law's car. So on my way into work this morning, now, I had to leave Ocean City 3 hours away, 10 o'clock this morning. I thought, I'll pull in one last time to the place where my car is and see if maybe they somehow have found the tire.
Mm-hmm.
So I last talked to the guy at 8 o'clock this morning.
Right.
I pull in. The guy says, no luck. We'll have the tires in a couple of days. We'll call you. I say, okay. Get in my car. Go to 7-Eleven. I go get myself some water. I go in to get the water. I'm standing in line, and a van pulls up out front. Out of the van, first guy in, 7-Eleven. Gary Marshall.
Gary Marshall, like
Penny Marshall.
Lost in America, Gary Marshall.
Santa Claus. Cool. Now, wait. It gets even bigger than this.
Wow.
Now, he comes in and he has on a driving cap, an ascot, and a satin jacket. Now, as it turns out, I had no idea this. You know that they're filming a movie right outside Ocean City, Maryland? For the next 2 weeks?
Really?
Yes.
I didn't even read that. Usually they put that in the paper, but I didn't know.
I had no idea. They started shooting today.
I know one big star has been around here shooting a movie. I wonder if that's the biggie that you bumped into.
Who do you think it is?
Well, the one that's been around the area has been Harrison Ford.
No.
Okay.
No, this is not the same movie as Harrison Ford's making.
All right.
Miss Julia Roberts.
Whoa!
So I'm standing in the store. Now listen to this. I'm standing in the store and this guy Gary Marshall comes in. Now obviously he's like, look at me, because he walks into the store and you know when someone walks in and they have that thing like, hey, look at me.
I'm like, is he giving off the vibe, I want to be approached?
He walked in and he went like this with his hands. Hello! Right? To Abu, who's working behind the counter at the 7-Eleven. So I didn't say anything to him.
Right.
I'm just standing there. Now keep in mind.
You're dying to, though, aren't you? I mean, you got to figure.
Just wait. She talked to me.
There are not that many people that are that big fans of Gary Marshall.
She talked to me. I didn't say one word to him. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I was lucky enough to be wearing my Independence Day jacket.
Right.
Remember, Charlie Stossel gave me this jacket from the movie Independence Day.
Absolutely.
So, I'm standing at the water thing where you open up the sliding glass doors and get out the water.
Yeah.
I'm standing there, and I'm just kind of wasting time because I'm really looking out of the corner of my eye at Gary Marshall, who's holding court with a guy who's running the slurping machines. All of a sudden, these two, like, bodyguard guys walk over, and they go, excuse me. So I step out of the way, and then Julia Roberts comes up, and she says to me, excuse me, do you know what time the run-through is today? And I said, pardon me? She said, do you know what time the run-through is? She obviously thought that I worked on a movie because I had a movie jacket on.
Right?
I swear to God. I swear to friggin' God.
That's the jacket you've been wearing all, you know, the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it finally paid off
for me. That is so cool.
So I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just here to buy some water.
And what did she say after you said that?
She said, oh, I'm sorry. And then the two bodyguard guys, like, stepped in between her and me. And then it was like I was invisible. Like, she didn't say another word to me, but they asked her, what would you like? And she said,
you know, in a moment like that, and I'm sure afterwards, like two beats afterwards, you said, man, what if I had concocted an elaborate scheme? Oh, I think it's at noon today.
I wish I would have been bright enough to do that, but I wasn't.
Who would do that, though? Nobody would do that.
I mean, to be honest, I didn't even recognize her at first.
Right. Right. How did she look?
Not that great.
Oh.
Not that great. Hair pulled back into a ponytail in the back.
Right.
She had on a denim jacket and jeans. Now, I wish I could remember the name of the movie, because the name of the movie was embroidered on the back of her jacket.
Okay.
Whatever the movie is that she's up there filming.
It's got to be, I would say the odds are probably some kind of maybe comedy.
It was a...
It's Gary Marshall directing
it. It was a two-word title.
Really?
So she tells these guys what she wants, and then they walk her back out, and I see outside that there's a van and a limo.
Right.
She gets into the limo, and okay. Gary Marshall had been in the van with all these other guys. So then I got my water, and I walk up front, and Gary Marshall... He's still talking to these people. So I approached him.
With that very noticeable accent. All right, so we did this. Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Santa Claus.
Wearing his ascot and his driving cap and his satin jacket. So I'm standing there, and I said, hey, how you doing? He says, hey, how you doing? That's a nice jacket. I said, yeah, it's a very nice jacket. I said, what are you doing here? Hey, we're here to make a movie.
With Richard Gere. Oh, well, maybe not. Then maybe not a comedy.
Richard Gere and Julia Roberts. And then Gary Marshall starts telling everybody in the store that he's the genius that put Julia Roberts and Richard Gere together in Pretty Woman, and that the studio has been begging him for 10 years to make another movie with those two people.
They had chemistry. It's going to be a big hit.
I'm standing there just kind of looking at him. Bad breath, like coffee breath.
Oh, really?
I was standing right next to him just looking at him, looking at his nose hairs.
No surprise there.
Getting a little of his bad breath coming my way. And then he was about to leave, and I said, well, hey, a pleasure to meet you. And so he shook my hand. Right, I was sucking up to him.
Right.
I don't mind telling you. I'm just sucking up.
Did you tell him you loved his work in Lost in America?
And the last thing I said to him, he's walking out. He said, all right, hey, that's a nice jacket. Where'd you get that jacket? I said, well, I got that from a friend of mine who runs a movie theater. Hey, Santa Claus. And he looked at me just for a second. And I went, Lost in America. You were great in that movie. And this was a quote. Yeah, I was, wasn't I? And then he walked out, and he took his whole big entourage with him. And Julia Roberts' limo went away, and they followed in their little rent-a-van.
Well, the movie's got to be huge. If it's got Julia Roberts and Richard Gere reuniting since Pretty Woman, it's going to be a big movie.
I wouldn't go see it. I don't like Julia Roberts. I don't particularly like Richard Gere.
Wow.
I don't think that Gary Marshall has made a good movie.
That's incredible, though. You got to find out the name of it so we know, you know, when it comes out.
That's a big Hollywood star, though.
That's a huge Hollywood star.
And she asked me what time the read-through is. The run-through or the read-through or whatever it was.
Probably the read-through. You know, maybe they're just starting it.
And I just sat there, duh.
Miss Roberts.
I don't know.
You're awful pretty.
Wearing my jacket that Charlie Stossel gave me. My Independence Day jacket. Hello, Donna Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
I think that Gary Marshall and Julia Roberts and Richard Gere, they've been in here in the Baltimore area for like the past 3 weeks picking up spots.
Have they really? Because the guy at 7-Eleven, when they left, told me that Gary Marshall has got a hotel, and you know where Berlin, Maryland is?
Yeah.
Right outside Ocean City?
Mm-hmm.
He said that Gary Marshall has got a hotel and a couple of stores in that downtown area. And that, like, he's totally made them over for this movie.
Oh, really?
And that they've, like, closed off traffic down there, and they're going to be filming there for 2 weeks. And today was the first day of filming.
Yeah, because everybody was thinking that this was going to be Pretty Woman 2. But from some of the newspapers up here in Baltimore, they're like, no, this is nothing to do with Pretty Woman. It's more on the lines where Julia Roberts is like a stable hand or something like that. I think the same.
What you could also yell at him is, "Hey, put me in your movie," and just whip out your SAG card, you know, and just shove it in his face. Go, hey,
wasn't
hey, I'm
thinking
a member
that
of the
fast.
Union.
I just was not thinking fast enough.
That's wild.
I did say to him, "Hey, I love you. I love you. Hey, thank you." Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Ethan Sacramento.
Hi, and you should have heard this guy going on and on.
How many people, though, seriously? I mean, if Gary Marshall walked into a place, A, would recognize
I'm
him.
The only, listen,
and B,
was,
would be really seriously, like you and I are, a fan of that one movie that he did.
I could have given a rat's ass about meeting Julia Roberts, but right. I was excited to meet Gary Marshall.
Gary Marshall!
Hello.
Hey, Dr. Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I was just listening to you, and I was reading Entertainment Weekly at lunchtime, and the movie's The Runaway Bride.
It's not The Runaway Bride. It's Runaway Bride, and that's what Julia Roberts had written.
Runaway Bride.
In the back of her denim jacket.
Oh, wow.
And that's what Gary Marshall had on the back of his satin jacket.
Runaway Bride. That's weird that they wear, but I guess everybody recognizes them anyway, so they might as well, you know, plaster the movie on the back of their clothes.
That's why they probably thought that I was in the business, because I was there wearing my Independence Day jacket.
That's great.
Like Mr. Big Shot, like Mr. Suckass.
Oh, man. Give me your jacket, Gary. Or maybe gotten him a good headlock, you know, because did he look like he could take him?
I could have got him in a nose lock. God, he's got a huge nose. And he had lots of nose hair.
Really?
Lots and lots of
untrimmed.
Nose hair.
Untrimmed?
Yes.
Oh.
Big strands of nose hair.
Bad breath.
Sat right next to me, lecturing this guy, Abu, about what a great career he's had. And I told you, I got a little bit of that breath. Oh, P.U. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I thought maybe you were going to say you, Abu, and Julia Marshall, and Julia Roberts all had glorious five-way sex.
I wish.
In the 7-Eleven.
I'd have sex with him.
Would you have sex with her?
Yeah, I guess. I'd have sex with him before I had sex with her. Because having sex with him would be like having sex with Laverne.
Yeah, there you go.
From Laverne and Shirley.
One step closer to Laverne. Very similar.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, Radio Gods. How's it going?
Great, thank you.
I was in the supermarket in Baltimore the other day. And about 15 minutes before I got in there, Julia Roberts had just left, apparently. And there's this big commotion between all the cash register ladies. You know, they get talking every once in a while.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. No one in this 7-Eleven paid her 1 second of attention. And Gary Marshall was pretty much holding court to let people know that he was there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That is so neat. That is, I mean, that's the spontaneous celebrity sightings are the best.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, someone walked up to her and said, "Hey, aren't you Julia Roberts?" And her first response was, "No, people tell me I look a lot like her." And then I heard someone came up and took her picture, and she ran them down and took the address, and now they're going to make him send the picture back to her and everything.
Really?
Yeah, it sounded like a real snobby encounter right there.
Well, she seemed friendly enough with me when she thought I was one of her peons working on the movie.
The United States of America, where we love to hate our famous people.
But then as soon as they figured out that I didn't work on the movie...
You were persona non grata.
That's when the two bodyguards moved right between her and me.
And big boys?
Yeah, huge guys.
Mean-looking guys.
Remember that guy Tiny that used to work on our show?
Those kind of guys.
Two guys like that. Like big, what do you call those? Like bouncer types.
Beware.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, did you guys have glorious five-way sex?
That's the second call that said that.
Come on.
Oh, you idiots.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Domingo Geronimo, Michael O'Meara, Jordan Woo!
Gang code.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Dr. Laura, Mr. Chad, Booster, Booster, Booster!
No!
All right, goodbye. They're out there.
Goodbye.
They're all out there.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I agree with what you said about Julia Roberts, that, like, she's not that much to look at. But, you know, she's got to be a screamer, you know? She's got that kind of go-all-night look. I think she's like a still waters that run deep kind of thing.
I think she's hot. I've always thought she was hot.
A little pockmarky also.
No.
A little bit on her cheeks.
No.
Just, I swear to God, just a touch of pockmarks on her cheeks.
Oh, I don't want... Oh, la, 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 la.
You want to talk about bad skin, though. Take a good, close look at Gary Marshall, man.
Yeah, well, he's been through the wars. You know that.
Hello, Dynamite.
Why can't gerbils get out of... Why can't...
Come on. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Get on her cheeks.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
You know, Kathy Lee has a penis.
Okay. Don't call the show again, Cody.
Hello, Donna Mike, sir. Oh, I just heard that same call again. Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, I was curious. What was that website for the Dr. Laura? I've been trying to pull it up. I can't find it.
I don't know.
I heard there are like three or four of them. Use the search engine.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you.
Try www.badboosh.com. Okay, one more call. Hello, Donna Mike.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much for that last call.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, did you guys catch Kathy Lee on The Simpsons last night with Regis?
Yeah, and let me just say this. First off, The Simpsons last night blew.
Mm-hmm.
All their Halloween shows blow, I think. But those last night especially blew. And Regis and Kathy Lee, if you thought that our performance when we did that walk-on on Babylon 5,
right.
If you thought we were stiff...
And they were bad and it was in cartoon form?
They were real. The plot was that Bart and Lisa got sucked into the TV.
Right.
So Bart and Lisa were inside an itchy and scratchy cartoon. And then when Homer changed the channels,
right.
Bart and Lisa were on the Regis and Kathy C show.
And it sucked?
Oh, here's what it is. They're standing at their kitchen set.
Right.
Right? And it was real bad, like where they said to Regis, okay, this is where Bart Simpson's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you pretend that he falls out of the sky and falls into the pot of whatever stew they were making. And Regis, very awkward and stiff, he goes, all right, today we're going to learn how to make Swiss steak. Whoa! What is this? And then you wait one beat, two beat, while he's playing to the animation that's going to be drawn in later.
Yeah, obviously doing a bad job of it.
And she was even worse, as stiff as he was.
Yeah, they go too far with those specials. Now, they're not funny. They don't try to make them funny. They try to make them elaborate, and I think it sucks.
And you know when Kathy Lee is acting, pretending right. to be... Kathy Lee.
Yeah, and she's terrible because she doesn't need to pretend.
She was worse than when she sang that song about it's hell, it's hell.
When she tries to be a caricature of herself, it doesn't work. Because, I mean, a caricature of a monster is not something anybody wants to look at.
So she goes, what is this, Reg? He goes, I don't know. It's crazy. And then she goes, Dom DeLuise can just do the cooking segment by himself. And she walks off.
You know, I have one question about her cartoon. Did her cartoon have Hooters?
She was real.
Oh, she was real. So it was the real thing. I didn't
right.
even see it.
Regis and Kathy Lee.
Oh, that's right. They did. They worked with the Simpsons.
They were real, and Bart and Lisa were cartoons inside their real show.
That's why the moments of dead air where it was frustrating to work
right.
with
the Simpsons. Right. It was like, you know, like the technology on Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Exactly.
Where you
exactly.
got a real actor working with a cartoon?
Right.
Except Regis is so bad, it's like mm-hmm. they said to him, okay, look directly below you because that's where Bart Simpson will be coming out of the big pot of stew.
They say it's one of the hardest things to do to work like that, and you have to be an incredible actor. So when you get somebody with the talent of well, Regis and Kathy Lee, obviously you get that result.
They both blew it.
That sucks.
Oh, it was awful. It was just the worst. Well, who's on the phone now? Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, I just want to ask Donna Mike what they think about Terry Bradshaw's beard.
His goatee?
Yeah.
You know, I wish on that Fox show. You talk about Fox NFL Sunday?
Yeah.
We just spent a little more time just talking about football and a little less about Terry Bradshaw's goatee.
I don't know. You know, I think it was proven what kind of, you know, personality Terry Bradshaw is when he had that ill-fated home team show, whatever the hell it was. That
home team with Terry Bradshaw.
Lasted like about a week and a half. And, you know, they're still trying to make him more than he's, you know, I think he's a fine, solid football analyst. But come on. You know, what are we making him into this kind of persona for? It doesn't work.
Well, I didn't like, yesterday they did a whole feature with him and Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Right.
And asking players around the league if they think that Terry Bradshaw should shave his goatee or not.
Isn't this Howie Long going to dye his hair blonde or something like that?
Hey, I think Howie Long's good on that show.
Howie Long is good on that show, but they dick around too much on that show.
Yeah, they got too much of that good old boy stuff where like they want to make each other laugh all the time.
That's right, JB. Okay, Terry. Yeah, it looks real good. Yeah, all right.
I hear that.
Here's the 800 number right now. Here's our website. This should he keep it or not? Who the hell cares?
Just show me the games.
Really?
Put Ditka on.
You know, they used to really do it in the old days. They did it a little bit more. Football was the main thing. And there were less graphics. There were less analysts, you know, in number. And there were, you know, less of the crap. And now it's just like, I think they're on. They all run together, too.
And you know what they do on that Fox show, too? They have those bad computer animation graphics.
Right.
Where, like, the guy says, this week on Fox NFL Sunday, Will the bus be running in Kansas City? And it's like a stick figure of a little bus going through.
Oh, no.
Right? It's like awful graphics.
I mean, I think you will agree. Football itself is an interesting game. Doesn't need a lot of assistance. I mean, it works. Guy kicks a 63-yard field goal yesterday to tie the record for old Tom Dempsey. And, that works. I don't need any special graphics to show me that.
And incidentally, I'll give that guy some credit because, Tom Dempsey,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the reason he kicked that field goal is he's only got his half a foot.
He had a special shoe.
And he had a special shoe that was like flat on one side.
I think it was flat, like made out of lead or something like that.
Yeah. So that dude that kicked it yesterday for Denver, good for him.
That was truly, and the coach said he might have gotten it by a foot, but they won't credit him for that. He's tied with Dempsey now in the
record. Hey, how about those fake teeth that the coach at Denver has?
Oh my God.
He's got, like, the worst dentures in the world.
It's like the kind that, chatter in a desk drawer of a teacher when you open it out.
Hello, Dynamite. Last call. Really?
Hi.
Hi.
And my new issue of Playboy?
Yes.
A college issue, and one of the girls appears to have a penis tucked between her legs. Page 144, top left.
All right, thanks for the tip.
Check it out, man.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Let me quit.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show. They don't trust the Germans, and neither should you, Don and Mike.
Liza? Hi, who's this?
This is Don and Mike. Hello,
hi,
Liza.
Hi, how are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, Liza Minnelli. Oh, this is a thrill.
Oh, thank you.
Now, hello? Liza with a Z, where are you calling from? Are you in New York, New York?
I'm in New York, New York, yeah.
Before we ask you all of the many questions that we've waited a lifetime to ask you, what are you here to plug today, Liza?
Well, I made a new album.
Well, go ahead, plug away.
Well, it's called Gently. And it's a make-out album.
It's a what?
A make-out album?
It's a make-out album.
You mean you can put this on and and just go to town?
Oh, it's lovely. I mean, it's something I wanted to do for a long time. And it's very gentle and it's very nice. And if it doesn't work, I'll give you your money back.
Oh, wow. That's
all
a
right.
Nice deal.
Now, I have a copy. I have a copy of the album here. What would be your favorite cut?
Oh, I don't know. I like the... there's one cut with Donna Summer on there that I like.
Well, we've had Donna Summer on the show also.
Does He Love You, duet with Donna Summer.
Right.
Let's listen to a little bit.
Oh, you put the wrong album in, Donna.
Wait, hold on.
Liza Dunn has put the wrong album on. It was from a former guest that we've had.
New Tiny Tim CD.
The Tiny Tim CD. We apologize.
Hold on.
Liza, have you had a chance to hear the new Tiny Tim album?
No.
All right, hold on just a second. All right.
All right. Now, this time I'll really put your record in.
Okay.
Cut number 10. That's the one we want to listen to. All right. And here we go.
Now, is this a make-out song?
No, this is a song where they kind of, well, you'll see.
Let me get the intro on this, and I'll give it the DJ treatment after I hear it one time.
Okay.
Mellow thing over this.
Yeah, go ahead. You do it. You can do it.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it all the way up to, See, now there's a post right there. Was that you? Was that you sighing, Liza?
No. No, that's Donna.
Okay that's Donna.
All right.
All right, now ready? Don's going to give it the proper DJ intro, Liza.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. Where it's always sunny and always 106 degrees. Remember, that's warm enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk and warm enough to fry dog's brain. Right now, two lovely ladies who've been putting together some great tunes for pretty good gams between these ladies right here. Ms. Liza Minnelli and the queen of Ms. Donna Summer. Right?
I've known about you.
See nothing to it.
Right now, we've played to the part where Liza sings. We should do that.
When he leaves me.
Wait, let me go past this to get your part, Liza.
It's coming up. Okay. It's coming up.
Hey, big mouth, come on, where's Liza?
There.
Here we go. Here's Liza.
There you are.
Rushes home to you're the one he gave his name to. I never see his face in the early morning light. You have
I smell sulfur. I smell platinum, Liza.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
This is hot.
Cool.
Do you like doing duets?
Oh, yeah, I love this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I love best about when you sing? That way you go, I love his
vibrato.
I love that.
Oh, good.
So listen, your new record is out. What's your label? Is it on a real? It's on Angel Records.
Yeah.
That is the new CD by Liza Minnelli. Listen, I've always wanted to ask you, what the heck happened during Arthur 2?
What do you mean?
Well, Arthur 2 didn't quite live up to the expectations that I had for it.
Oh, you really want to know?
Yeah.
Tell us. What's the skinny?
We're huge fans of Arthur, of the movie Arthur.
The guy who wrote Arthur 1 died.
Well.
That'll do it.
Right.
That's it. In one sentence, she answers the question. And what is all this? We have been reading a lot. You know, there's been a lot of crap in the tabloids about you. And can you clear that up for us right now about your health? Are you healthy? Is everything going all right?
Honey, I'm healthy as an ox. I figure every time I do something, the tabloids get me because of just my history, my family history.
Yeah.
Every time they get me, I have a hit.
There you go. All right. Wow.
Can't complain with that.
No.
Listen, tell me some of the celebrity guys who you've been linked with. I know that you were married to Peter Allen for a while. But beyond that, tell me some of the guys who you've dated, some of the big Hollywood celebrities you've dated. Would you mind? You ever date Frank Sinatra?
Are you nuts?
No, I don't know. I'm asking.
My mother dated Frank Sinatra.
Oh, okay.
Well, you performed with Frank Sinatra, and you went on that tour with Frank and Sammy, right?
Yeah, but he's kind of old.
Oh, he was pretty old at that point. That's true. There you go.
Okay.
All right. A contemporary, then. Who would be, in your opinion, when you had him at his prime, the youngest, hottest guy that you were involved with?
I guess the director, Martin Scorsese.
Oh, Martin Scorsese?
Oh, that's neat.
Oh.
I didn't know that. You learn something every day on this program.
You little name dropper, you. You little name dropper. Liza with a Z. You know what movie I remember? The first movie I saw you in, Liza, was the one with Robert De Niro.
New York.
And I remember Cabaret. That's the first movie I remember that you were in, and you were great in that, too.
Thank you.
Man, that's so Liza, the way she did that. Isn't that cool?
Thank you. So listen, you know what I want to ask you about? Hold on, I read something about you in the newspaper recently. Okay, now, this would be a good way to find out if what they write is true or not. I read in the paper that you're coming to New York from L.A., and I think you wanted to have dinner at Morton's or something like that. Great restaurant, great steak restaurant. That they say that you're going to be there. You got a reservation like at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you show up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's baloney.
That is baloney?
Yeah, I'm never late for anything. And I'm a good girl.
She's a good girl.
You're on your best behavior at all times.
No, I was just raised properly, that's all.
Okay.
That's good. And now, besides the album, are you going to be doing any touring, any live performing at all?
Yeah, in fact, I'm putting the album into my own show right now. So...
Are we keeping you up, Liza?
No, it wasn't that. I was trying to get out of this. I'm sitting in this chair that is so deep, I can't tell you.
Really?
My knees are touching my chin.
Is there anybody else?
I raised myself out of this chair.
Hello. I'm all for your knees touching your chin, Liza.
There we go.
There's not anybody else in the chair with you right now, is there?
Yeah.
All right, just checking.
Liza?
Yeah.
Liza, answer me this question.
Sure.
I consider you to be a woman of class. Everybody loved your mom, an incredible talent. You got your talent, a lot of it from her. Just tell me this, Liza. Promise me, you are never going to open your own dinner theater in Branson, Missouri. Will you promise me that?
Promise.
There, she promised
all right.
you.
Okay.
We don't want to see you in Branson.
Okay.
You know, we don't want you to go the same route that Bobby Vinton has had to go and Jim Stafford has had to go. You're better than that, Liza.
Oh, honey, they make a lot of money then.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, honey, I love that. I love that. I love being called honey by Liza with a Z.
That's show business stuff there.
Now, listen, I'm glad you like the album, you guys.
Hey, darling, what's on your agenda for tonight? What is the typical Thursday night like for Liza Minnelli in New York?
Well, 7 o'clock, I go to rehearsal.
10 o'clock, I finish rehearsal. I go get a bite to eat. I go home, I go to bed.
Boy, that's a little more boring than I thought it would be.
I know, Liza, isn't it a drag, but that's life.
Liza, listen, tonight, you know, must-see TV. Do you watch any TV? See, for me, it'll be at home and with my butt on the couch watching Jerry Seinfeld. Do you watch any TV shows?
When I'm not working, sure.
What do you like? What's your favorite TV show?
Seinfeld, too.
You like Seinfeld?
That's yeah. Cool.
All right.
You like Third Rock from the Sun? You ever seen that one?
No.
That's a terrific John Lithgow. You know John Lithgow?
Yeah.
He's terrific in that.
Oh, well, I'll catch it then.
What about Urkel? You like Urkel?
No, I don't know what Urkel is.
How about sports? Do you have a favorite football team, baseball team, basketball team?
Well, I like the Yankees.
A Yankees fan. Mm. Mm.
Do you hate Kathy Lee Gifford?
No.
Yeah, we do. Sorry, that's just our own personal thing.
These are just a bunch of personal questions we want to ask you.
Now, how can you hate Kathy Lee Gifford? What's the hate?
No, we think she's a phony, Liza. Oh,
Liza, another day, another show.
Okay.
Who are you for president, Liza?
Oh, come on, you guys. I never talk about stuff like that.
I know. This is why we want to ask you the question. Who do you want?
I'm going to answer that one.
You're not going to answer that one?
Clinton or Dole?
If it's Clinton, cough twice.
Stop it. No, I won't.
Car? Credit cards?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. What type of car do you drive, Liza, in your own personal life every day?
I drive an Acura.
An Acura?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And right now, Liza, how many major credit cards do you have on you?
How many do I own?
On you. On you right now, how many?
Three.
Do you have a JCPenney card?
Oh, I wish I did.
Mm-hmm. And who is the performer that you admire the most? In any area of show business.
Let's see. I like Melissa Etheridge.
All right.
Melissa Etheridge. Right.
That's,
yeah.
That's a surprise answer. I didn't expect that.
Mm.
I'd like to hear you sing some of her songs someday. Especially that one where she goes, whoa!
Oh, that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Whoa!
What do you think of Don's singing ability, Liza?
I think it's good. He's right on key.
You see?
There
now
you
listen
go.
To that. Wow. Somebody put that on tape. That's Liza Minnelli. Well, listen, darling, we know that you have rehearsal shortly. We want to thank you for calling the program.
Thank you.
We will continue to plug your new record.
I'm so thrilled you like it. I had no idea it was going to do this. Thank you so much.
We love it. We're
and
in love with it.
You know, since we have you on the phone, could you possibly say, this is Liza Minnelli, and I never listen to Don and Mike.
This is Liza Minnelli, and I never listen to Don and Mike.
All right, now one more. Just one more. Just follow me on this one.
Yes.
This is Liza Minnelli. Don and Mike are a gay.
Oh, no.
Yes, because it's a long story. We have a lot of people that have cut the tapes that say this about us, and it's such a long story. We don't want to get into the details.
It's not what you think.
Okay. This is Liza Minnelli. Don and Mike... How can I say this? Are a gay.
Bravo. Perfect.
Liza, thank you. Listen, what a good sport she was.
You're the greatest.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Liza Minnelli.
I'm going to go cough some blood now.
Way to go.
Nice big red loogie. Oh, God.
Well, we got that crystal clear, though. Liza Minnelli saying Donna Mike are a gay. Added to the collection.
Yeah, rewind it right now, Charlie.
All right. Those were both great.
This is Liza Minnelli. Don and Mike, how can I say this, are a gay.
Oh, man, that's great.
Beautiful. And now, as I promised, I'm now retiring from the radio business.
Congratulations.
Mike, don't do it, Don.
Charlie, well, I'll give it a second thought, Buzz, during these commercials, and we'll be right back.
This is Liza Minnelli. Don and Mike, how can I say this, are a gay.
Another great moment of broadcast history right here.
Oh, that's terrific.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Hey, I was wondering, did you catch the fact that she sounded like Phyllis Diller when she was laughing?
No, as I said on the air, and as I was just saying to Mike in the hallway, it sounded to me like a big red lunger about ready to come up. I didn't...
Well, she didn't sound as well as she said she was.
I think she, as opposed to Phyllis Diller, I think she was She was squeaking a little bit
she
more
had more
than
of that,
Phyllis.
More of that croupy cough sound to her.
Yeah, but she had that deep laugh when she kind of bellowed a couple times. I immediately thought, Phyllis Diller.
Everyone
maybe it wasn't quite as high pitched.
Everyone is analyzing Liza. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello?
This is Dudley Moore. I can't believe it. I think that was my female sister from Orva.
Aunt Pearl. Uncle Peter. Hello, Don and Mike.
Is this Don?
And Mike. It's both of us. Hello.
Hi, my name's Arthur. I'm the first cousin of the guy who wrote the movie Arthur, the first movie Arthur. His name was Steve Gordon.
Ah, so you must have enjoyed hearing Liza on the program.
Oh, it was a thrill, man. It was unbelievable. I'm ready to retire from the practice of law.
That's terrific.
Yeah, Daddy-O.
That's great. And he wrote the first one.
He wrote only the first one. He was working on the second one when he died in 1983, 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Well, then would the second one, listen, with no offense to his memory, would the second one then be partially his fault?
No.
No, they totally screwed it up?
The reason he went into directing and producing, as he told me, was that although it was a great deal of effort and aggravation, nobody could screw around with your writing if you produced and directed what you wrote. He was tired of writing stuff for other people and then seeing it screwed up the way Arthur II and others were screwed up.
So was he totally instrumental in casting Dudley Moore, in you know, creating the concept of Dudley Moore just being loaded throughout the film, which really made that funny?
Well, it's a good question, whether Dudley Moore was that way naturally or whether he cast him that way.
And listen, although we would never say this to Liza, to her face, of course, she's the weak link in that chain. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I
she
know,
may not have been in the best of health at that time.
You know, in fairness...
Like she was today? Like she was today just coming back from Jack LaLanne? I would beg to differ. I'd say that perhaps Liza at her peak in the last 20 years.
And I've screamed that rather loudly over the years that Arthur... could have been even a funnier and better movie if maybe they'd done some recasting.
What was the thought that now is it your cousin who wrote Arthur?
That's right. His name is Steve Gordon.
And incidentally, isn't it great how we just believe anybody who calls the show and says anything? We like it. You know, we're as bad as the Mobile newspaper.
I'm a great fan of your show.
Well, if you also
I'm a trial lawyer with 22 years criminal defense experience, and I wouldn't have the nerve
you understand,
to lie on your show.
But you understand with those credentials, that doesn't do anything for your credibility, so being a trial lawyer. But you sound that you're talking a good game.
Well, hey, it's the truth. That's what you stick to, and you're safe in front of the grand jury and on the radio.
Tell me this, my friend.
Yes.
Your cousin Arthur. What was his...
I am Arthur, the cousin to Steve Gordon who wrote...
Oh, okay. Your cousin Steve. What was his thought for Arthur 2? What was the plot for Arthur 2? His idea, his vision.
He never shared it. All I know is what came out on the... movie was not his.
It was not his. He was not responsible. And after the original success of Arthur, were you close to your cousin? Were you able to...
We were close beforehand.
Right.
He was from a branch of the family that was in Toledo, Ohio. But both of his parents died when he was very young. He was part of a larger family.
Mm.
And his favorite aunt, or one of his favorite aunts, was down here. So he visited quite often when he had medical problems. He'd come down here for Arlington Hospital.
So you were close to him?
Yeah.
Good.
I asked him once where he got the name Arthur from, and he said it just popped into his head. His psychiatrist, his accountant, and his cousin were all named Arthur. So I said, well, that means we're entitled to a third of the property.
You know, it's funny because...
He said, a la Art Buchwald, in the film business, they're never profits, so you got what you deserved.
Can I tell you something? This is such a weird coincidence. My uncle, he wrote Cannonball Run.
Great movie.
But in no way, see, he died, in no way was he responsible then for Cannonball Run 2.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I have pretty much the similar type situation happen.
Right.
Is seeing something really great run into the ground.
Like Cannonball Run, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
My third cousin, distant cousin, wrote the Invisible Man for Chevy Chase. There was not a sequel made to that. The first one was very bad.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Arthur, thank you for your 2 cents.
Well, let me tell you, it's worth every penny of it.
They're going to have a guy win one trial, and he's boring me out of my mind. Now, I happen to know that Dudley Moore is also a big fan of Liza Melody. You know, he was in the movie. See what I got here?
Yeah.
Dudley Moore's telephone number.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, we have the Rolodex, and we had an earlier phone number of Dudley Moore, and this one has been changed, and I think this one is going to work.
If you get my drift.
You hear that clicking sound?
That's me giving Mike the high sign.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the phone to ring. There I go once again behind the scenes.
Welcome to 1-800-ASK-4-ASK. The only party line for good butt
ass. That's the old double swam doozle.
I got gotcha. You.
He just did the old. And you know, I wasn't going to go for that phone. And I went for that phone. I went for that phone.
All right, I'll really call this time. And that's the first time that Ask for Ass has gotten anything other than a total rave. I heard Mike go, oh. And, of course, Buzz doesn't have to go, oh, because Buzz has been going, oh, for the last 3 days.
Oh, Dudley must be busy. I'm busy right now. He's busy with that butt action.
All right, hold on a second. I think that's the number.
Let's see what's happening.
There you go. Hello?
I'm so pizza. I'm full. This is awful.
Hey, Dudley.
Hey, put him in. I fell out of the car. Is that the funniest thing ever? Hello. I'm awful. Can I help you?
Is this Dudley Moore?
No. This is awful. No, this is Dudley Moore.
How come you always married such tall chicks?
I like tall chicks because I can use the line constantly. Gee, your hair smells terrific.
Hey, listen, Dud.
Oh, yeah. I love the shampoo. I love the shampoo that Susan Anton uses. It's trick number 5.
Hey, Dudley.
I'm getting a headache. Yes, hello.
Oh, are you
what
getting?
What is this?
Are you getting a headache from being Dudley Moore?
No, Uncle Peter. Who am I talking to? What's the rest of this moose?
This is the Don and Mike show.
Yes. Oh, I'm so bored, Father. Try not to get the $60 million if I don't marry Susan. I don't want to marry Susan. I don't. Don't threaten me with the butcher knife, please.
Did you hate having Liza Minnelli as your co-star in Arthur?
Oh, God, it was awful.
Did you ever cough up blood?
It was the most terrible thing in the world. She coughed up blood. She had breath like she chewed on her socks. It was awful. I wish I had a nickel for every nickel I had.
I'll alert the media.
Pitterman, what's around the park? Oh, Hobson, would you run my bath for me and turn on my choo-choo train? I've got to go now. Do you know why?
Why?
I have to call the Ask for Ass line.
Bye, Dudley.
Always a pleasure to speak to Dudley Moore.
I did not know that the Dudley Moore would give you a headache.
No, not at all. No, just getting close there for a moment.
Close to it. Okay.
Very close. Don't worry. Everything's fine here now, gentlemen.
quick commercial break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chance. We have a chance national anthem.
Okay.
You ready? Stand up, chance. Okay?
Come on, Dobby. Don't be scared.
Okay. I wrote this song myself. This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. How we love the chancy man. The chancy man. We love his little nosy and we love his little cozy. And that is why we love the chancy man. The chancy man. Bum, 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 bum.
The Don and Mike Show. They take the Lord's name in vain. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh,
he should be listening to the show. He should be ready.
I'll tell you what he's going to be ready to do. He's going to be ready to negotiate.
Yeah, listen to this guy. Now, I don't want to bring up his heritage, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's a reason that this man is exceeding in sales.
He is terrific. I think he's our best salesman.
The problem is Steve Goldstein owes us
Yes, he owes us because the first time we were going to do Dialing for Transvestites, he dissed us.
Right. He was in the building. He did not take our call. He said he was too busy to play our silly reindeer game.
That's right.
And now he says, in order to fulfill his commitment, and by commitment I mean simply being a member of the team.
Now already, like David Hainline, he was right here. It's the late entry. It's the late arrival.
All right. Hi, Steve.
Here he is. It's Steve Goldstein.
Now, Steve and I...
Hi, Mike.
Steve and I have had ups and downs in our relationship. Mike and Steve have had ups and downs in their relationship.
Moments of great joy followed by very violent arguments.
Now, Steve, we call you in because you're a regular sales guy. You're a regular guy.
Okay.
It's entertaining to hear you attempt to be a transvestite and talk to the phone hose. Now, everybody else on the staff that we've asked to do this has gone along with it. Mm-hmm. And actually has had a pretty good time dialing for transvestites. You, Steve, you just can't come in and be a member of the team. You got to try to get us to buy something.
Nope, I'm not trying to get you to buy something, but this entertainment that you talk about has got to be worth something.
Listen to this.
I would like to point out to you, Mr. Goldstein, that David Hainline was in here a week ago and came in, had a fabulous performance, asked for nothing, demanded nothing, did not say it was worth anything. What it's worth, I'll tell you what it's worth. It's worth the goodwill that you get with your clients when you're out on the street selling and hawking this show.
Well, see, that's what makes the difference between people.
And Steve Goldstein, you know what I'd say to you? Your name is Steve Goldstein. You know what I'd say to you? Do you remember a day in Ken Stevens' office? A day when you, I won't embarrass you by announcing what you were talking about with Ken. Do you remember that in-depth day?
Uh-huh.
That in-depth conversation?
Uh-huh.
Didn't I walk in on the middle of that meeting?
Uh-huh.
Now, I could have shut the door and I could have walked out, but you know what I did? I stayed in there. And who was on your side in that meeting?
You held my hand.
Who was on your side?
You were. It was you.
Who was drunk at the Christmas party and giving you advice?
You were.
I was! I was, Mike!
Yes, you were, Don! You were, Don! I was!
So you can appreciate my motive.
No, I can't. I can't. I've shown you that I'm your friend.
Well, this is not for me.
Now, I'm not
doing this out of any selfish interest here.
I don't disagree that you've got a motive here. And I don't think that negotiations are necessarily out of bounds. However, the negotiations must take place
at the
conclusion of your performance, because the negotiations will be directly influenced by the quality of your performance, Mr. Goldstein.
Excellent point, Mr. Romero.
Thank you very much.
Conversely, the quality of my performance will be enhanced knowing that you've contributed
greatly
to this very worthy cause.
Steve's society wife is participating in a walk-a-thon, a bowl-a-thon.
Bowl for business. I brought my information.
And, of course, Washington society always out bowling.
Bowling.
Mm-hmm. For business.
How much do you want us to pay? What is this, per pin, per lane, per...
Well, it's per pin.
Per pin?
Or per pin.
Per pin?
For a whole game?
Per pin. For a whole game.
Per pin?
Meaning if she was... meaning if she got a score of 300, a perfect game, and I was to say I would offer a penny, I would have to pay $3.
300 times a penny...
would be $3.
Would be $3.
Now, okay. That sounds reasonable. I'd be more than willing to go with that commitment before he does the dialing for transfer.
As would I.
Okay, we're done.
We're thinking a little bit bigger here, though, because this is a really worthy charity.
Well, let me explain what you've already received for us. You received a commitment of $6 from both Don and myself before you even dialed for transvestites. And who knows, if you have an outstanding performance, we could up that to maybe two cents a
pen. But see, that's a little lower than...
What were you
the
looking?
The average here.
What were you? And what is the average?
There's a good question. Well, what is the average?
The average on the staff, and you two, can we agree, you are definitely above average people?
Yes.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
The average on the staff is around
$7. $7 a pin?
People like David Hainlett. No. So, okay, people are doing either per pin, or a flat fee.
Now, when you say $7, see, here's where you're a trickmeister, and here's where you do this to your clients as well. I know that you're working the numbers on us right now. $7 total expenditure? Is that what you're saying? It's averaging out to total expenditure? What are you doing with the head cleaner with your ear?
It's a Q-tip.
Are you going to clean your ear?
Clean your ear.
I saw a Q-tip.
Put that down.
Let me see that.
Sorry, but...
Made of wood.
Let me see.
God, he's so badly behaved.
Steve, what? You're going to have potatoes growing in these ears. Disgusting.
Not here. please take care of your personal grooming out of the studio.
Take your body somewhere else.
Sorry, Steve.
Now, what is the cause?
What is the cause? What is the charity?
All right, first let me back up because you're very confused about this. You can either do it by the pin or you can do a flat fee.
Listen, I will
Most people are doing flat fees.
How about this? I will give your charity wife...
A grand?
You are absolutely out of your freaking mind.
I'm going to tell you right now that you are lucky that Mr. Geronimo doesn't throw you out of this studio right now with that kind of ridiculous...
I was going to say $25. Yeah. And I mean that, I swear to God, 25. Can I tell you something? My kid is doing a thing for Easter Seals.
Yeah, come with me.
Where you shoot baskets. I'm his father, and I've set it up. If he makes all the baskets, I give him $32.
How much am I giving him?
$30.
Okay, $30. And since Don has offered $25, I'll go along with that. I'll offer you $10. $10 total expenditure.
Isn't he the one always calling you rich guy?
It doesn't matter. Now, don't start that game either.
Okay,
you're
so
going to make me angry.
Let me explain the cause, because maybe this will soften the whole thing, because this is all really for a worthy cause.
Unless it's disc jockeys, I really don't care.
Okay.
What is the cause?
Well, it's junior achievement. Buzz, you were in junior achievement, right?
Oh, junior achievement. They don't need my money. Jesus, don't give me J.A. For goodness sakes, they're the slackers.
Slackers.
They're the ones in school who want to miss seventh period so they can go to the J.A. meeting.
Are you saying the average total expenditure is $7, not $7 a pin, just $7?
Yeah.
So when this is all said and done, most of the people on the staff here are going to give you $7.
On the average. Some people gave me more. Hainline was very nice. He gave 10.
Uh-huh.
Someone gave 5.
Hold on, wait. People have offered you $7 and $5. I've offered you 25, which is at least three times more than your top offer. Seven times three is 21. I've offered you three times more, and you're turning me down. Why is that, Steve?
And you're asking for a grand. You come dancing in here in your Jamie Farr attitude without a dress.
And $1,000?
You're asking for $1,000?
$1,000? Your wife better make love to me on a on a bowling alley.
Lane number four is now ocupado.
Okay, so we got $25 from the man over here. How about you?
I'll give you $25 also.
Okay.
And that's it.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I've just been handed a note. There's probably some incentive program for the person who raises the most sponsorship money. Surely Steve has an ulterior motive.
So this is not simply out of the goodness of your heart. If you stand here and tell us that the person that raises the next money gets the most money gets some kind of prize...
There are prizes, but it's not the person who it's
what is
like
it, Steve? Well,
dinner or something like that.
The spouse factor too. I mean, Steve's wife would be very unhappy if he didn't come home with a good amount of sponsorship.
This is for my wife. It's not for me.
Mm.
You know what this is? This is competitive because she told me, well, some other guy brought the sheet to his office and he got a couple $100 in pledges. So I'm on the kind of.
Well, you should go to that office then. That's a good office. You should go there.
So he tapped out.
If you go to that office.
Just remember, there are gifts involved here. There's something that he gets. He receives something if he raises the money. A dinner. Is that what it is? A dinner? Perhaps a very nice dinner at a restaurant?
A golf shirt? What
better
is
be
it?
Better be a nice restaurant. I have no idea.
Oh, you have no idea?
I have no idea.
So you're not in this for your personal gain?
No, I'm not in this
totally
for my personal
gain. Totally selfless on your part?
Totally selfless. All right. I want to see my wife raise a lot of money.
Hold on. Now, I'm seeing all the lines. I bet these are all the people who can tell me what a wonderful cause junior achievement is. I don't doubt that it is. It's just that Steve Goldstein is involved in it.
I'd like to point out, we have already... sort of committed $25 each to
Hello.
This.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Listen, I know what the prize is.
Yes, what?
For every $100 they raise, they get a $10 gift certificate to an electronics store. And $1,500 is a trip to New York, I think.
Really?
And then the top prize is like a trip to Hawaii.
I saw you.
The eyes are the windows to the soul.
I saw you. You want to take your wife to Hawaii. That's what this is all about.
If I wanted to take my wife to Hawaii, I would take my wife to Hawaii.
You would not.
Sponsor me instead.
He's another one that wants to sponsor me.
Are you doing this also?
Yeah, I'm doing it as well.
All right, lay those prizes on me one more time.
Okay, it's $10 for every $100 you raise. Gift certificate to an electronics store.
Right.
$1,000 is $100 gift certificate. $1,500, I think, gets you a trip to New York, airfare, and room paid. And I think $2,500 is another level prize. I don't remember them all. I'm in my car.
And what do you have to do to get the trip to Hawaii?
I don't know. You have to raise the most money of all, I think.
Right, that's like the top of it.
All right, so we're talking about my little sponsorship sheet here. It has like $200 on it.
200. Well, you were gunning for 1,000 there, buddy.
Yeah, hey, see. Thank you, my friend. Touche.
Right, there's a loyal listener right there.
Touché. Okay, bye-bye.
Mike Show.
Okay. $25. I'll donate $25 to this very worthy charity
Thank
for
you.
Your wife.
Thank you, Mike.
I will donate also $25 with,
you're matching
a,
it.
With an asterisk after my $25 that it is all based on your performance in Dialing for Transvestite.
Well, there can't be any asterisk.
No, you know what? That's an excellent idea. I would like to amend my original offer. And I tell you what, my offer $25, if you do an okay performance, if you wow me, I'll go to $50. If you get into it, if you make me believe that you're a transvestite and you enjoy wearing women's clothing and you follow up on it, I'll give you $50 for your wife's charity. However, conversely, if you do your usual Steve Goldstein, me Frankenstein job, your wife doesn't get squat. Do you take the challenge? I'm a man of my word.
I'll back him up on that 1,000%. I'll do the exact same thing. If you do a normal performance, an okay performance, $25. If you wow me, $25. Oh, I was caught. I'm sorry. Okay, I will double it also. That's a total of $100 if you wow us.
But if you do your usual lame job, then all you've received is some publicity for J.A.
All right, give me the headphones.
All right, he's into it.
All right, he's okay. into it.
All there right, we go. Very good.
Super job.
Very good. Now, hold on. First, we got to prepare you. We got to find out what your name's Stephanie, okay?
Stephanie. Oh,
your name
God.
Is Stephanie.
You don't know.
And you can say your full name, Stephanie Goldstein.
Goldstein?
No, or if you want to make it Goldstein, that's fine. You can say your name is Stephanie Goldstein.
Do I have to deal with this echo?
Yes.
Okay.
That's our echo.
And my sister used to call me Stephanie when I was a kid.
And CJ, I will have you know you made a terrible mistake by coming by the window and laughing. Because you are now on the list. Okay? Does that sound good?
Yeah, CJ. One of these days they're just going to have everybody come in and do their impressions of you. That's the new big thing all the guys are doing.
All right, now, Stephanie Goldstein, and what are you wearing today, Stephanie? What outfit do you have on?
I have actually pre-planned this. I think I have on fishnet stockings.
What line do I dial out on here? I can't get
1-900.
Fishnet stockings, is that all you're wearing, Stephanie?
Maybe something sheer over it?
Something sheer.
Now, Steve Areno, when they originally get on, when they first get on here, you just got to let me say, Don and Mike Show, you're on the air, and then it's all you.
Sizzling and untamed.
All right.
Ecstasy. Hot live girls who want to talk wild to you now.
It's Stephanie Goldstein.
Per minute. Billing begins 5 seconds.
One sexy babe.
Unless you
in
hang up
fishnets, a wonder bra, and something sheer.
By Prime Communications.
Yeah.
Girls are always available.
What a negotiation, Steve.
One with you.
God, you could sell ice to an Eskimo.
For your pleasure. And we hope you'll have a great time.
Could sell a ketchup popsicle to a man wearing a white suit.
Right connection for you. To go one-on-one and listen to the selection.
No, we want to get you a live girl.
Press 1. To be connected to any available girl.
That's
now
us.
Now or at any time.
Two.
Hello, I'm Lydia. But it's not who I am. It's simply what I am.
Who's a live person?
Important. I am a dominatrix. Please stay on the line. You are now being connected to one of our exciting girls.
Here we go, Stephanie.
All right.
For charity. For your wife's charity.
Oh!
Toot toot! Beep beep! Yeah! It's like listening to AM.
I love it.
That must have some kind of weird effect for those of you who are listening to the program at AM right now. Yeah, toot toot, beep beep. Stephanie Goldstein's here with her fishnets and her Wonder Bra. Make any million-dollar deals recently, Steve, while we're waiting for your girl to come online?
One or two.
Who's your new biggest client right now that you've signed?
Hold on.
Okay. Hi, this is Mickey. Who's this?
You're on the air with the Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, this is Miko. Who's this?
This is Stephanie.
Stephanie?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Where are you calling from?
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.? You're on the cold side of the country.
Yeah, it's real cold, especially with what I'm wearing.
And what are you wearing, doll?
I'm wearing fishnet stockings.
Are you?
6-inch spike heels.
Are you wearing my clothes again?
I am. You know, I love it. A Wonder Bra.
A Wonder Bra? Is it pushing your chest up so you look like you got big boobs?
Oh, yeah. I've got the biggest. And I'm sucking on a ketchup popsicle.
A ketchup popsicle?
I love things that are red. You know, it's the Valentine's season.
Are you sure you're not sucking on your friend?
Oh, dear.
Your friend's thumb.
Yes.
Huh?
My friend?
Yeah, you can tell me.
I'm just sucking on my popsicle.
Yeah? I thought I heard someone laughing in the background.
It was the TV. You know how I like transvestites.
Yeah. Do you want me to dress you up today?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Can I take you shopping with me?
Oh, I love shopping. Shopping's my favorite thing to do.
Really?
Uh-huh.
How old are you, hon?
Next to selling.
30.
Well, Stephanie, I'm going to go buy you some new sexy clothes.
Oh, I love clothes.
Yeah? Can we dress alike?
What are you wearing?
Well, we're going to go shopping and we're going to buy the same outfit, okay?
Okay.
Right now I have on my jeans.
Can we go to the mall?
Mm-hmm. And I have on a white sport bra. Do you know what that is, hon?
Yeah, I have a sport bra.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Do you wear it over your Wonder Bra?
No, I usually take the Wonder Bra off first.
Yeah?
And then I put the sport bra on?
Yeah.
You're doing
it
good,
feels
Steve.
Soft and comfortable, doesn't it?
It's great when I'm on the health rider.
Yeah. You got strong thighs?
Stronger than you know.
Yeah. Do they look good in heels?
My calf looks lean.
Mm-hmm.
And long.
Yeah.
And firm.
Are you spanking yourself?
No, that was the TV. Again.
I wish I was there. I'd spank your bad butt.
So, are we going shopping? I passed gas, excuse me.
Oh, you did?
Sorry. I do that when I get excited. And you got me very excited.
Are you sure? Are you sure you're 30?
I swear I'm 30.
What do you do for a living, huh? What do you do for a living?
I sell.
I deliver newspapers.
And you're 30?
Yeah, I really like newspapers. This way, I get to read the paper for free, and I don't have to cough up the 25 cents. Excuse me.
You have a lot of gas today, huh?
I do. It just means I'm really excited.
Are you going to embarrass me in the store? Huh?
I'm...
Now your friend's belching into the phone.
It's the
TV. I think you guys would probably like to be alone together, wouldn't you?
No, really.
I bet you guys do it to all right. each other all the time.
All right, tell her you're kicking us out.
All right, I'm going to kick them out.
Go ahead.
Get out of here! Bye, Stephanie.
Bye, Stephanie.
Okay, it's just us.
Are you sure?
I'm positive, I swear.
Okay, Stephanie. Are they transvestites, too?
Well, that's what I meant, that the TVs were on.
No.
Yeah, they're TVs, and they're on. And when I mean on, that means they're
oh,
on.
Oh, I got it. You I know. Got it. I'm sorry. Right over my head.
You're a little slow. Where are we going shopping?
I'm sorry, hon. I'm a bad girl, huh?
You're very bad. But I've been worse.
I'll try and do better next time, too. Okay, let's go to the mall, all right?
Okay, we're going to the mall.
All right. Let's go to the lingerie department first.
Of what store?
Macy's.
Macy's?
Yeah.
No, the help isn't good there. Let's go to Victoria's.
Oh, they got the best lingerie.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little over my budget, but you're worth it.
Thank you.
I want to dress you up real pretty. Okay?
Okay.
Oh, your TV friends are still there.
No, that was me this time.
Oh. Do you have Tourette's, hon?
Yes.
Tourette's syndrome?
Oh, boy. Yes.
Yep.
You like to have fun, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
Well, you're making my day.
That's what I'm here for.
Really?
Yeah, but I want to go shopping.
Okay, well, stop making those noises because you're making me laugh too
much.
Okay, let's go in Victoria's Secret.
Okay.
All right, I want to start with some stockings for you.
But what about my fishnet stockings?
Well, I like those, but I want to get you a pair of white ones.
To match my sport bra?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's see, what size do you wear?
I wear an 18.
An 18, okay. Here's a pair. You want to go try them on in the dressing room?
No, I'd rather do it right out here in the middle of the floor.
You would?
Uh-huh. What? I'm kind of an exhibitionist.
All right. You know...
Tell her, that you're troubled because you're at work, you're straight, but you want to be able to dress like this at work.
You got long legs.
Well, my real problem here is that I really would like to dress like this at work. I'm straight, but
yeah.
I delivering newspapers, it looks a little funny when you're walking door to door in fishnet stockings.
Yeah.
So I'm really frustrated. You got to help me with this.
Well, you know what? You got to wear them underneath your, you get a pair of baggy trousers, right?
Yeah, but that's no good. Cause
you want people to see them.
I don't feel womanly when I'm wearing the baggy trousers.
Slack.
Oh. Trousers. Well, how about when you...
Did you call me a slacker?
Last night, ask her if she would toss your salad.
How about when you're wearing like a little thong bikini?
Mm.
Will you toss my salad?
Toss your salad?
Yeah.
You mean...
With jelly.
Go upside, inside?
With jelly?
Yeah.
You'll toss my salad?
Uh-huh. Would you like that?
Uh-huh.
Will you teach me how to do it right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you have your fishnets on?
Uh-huh.
And your red thong panty?
Uh-huh.
And your Wonder Bra?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, is your hair down?
I have it up in a ponytail. Should I put it down?
Yeah, take it down.
Okay.
All right. There, that's better.
Yeah.
Now you look more womanly.
I feel more womanly.
Yeah. Can I make up your face?
No, you want to toss salad.
Toss salad.
I want you to toss my salad.
All right, but you have to show me how.
But I prefer balsamic vinaigrette and arugula.
So, toss my salad.
Now, you got to stop making me laugh. What are you, a sound engineer? Is that how you call it, by making girls laugh?
Yeah.
You're so cute. How old are you?
30. How many times do I have to tell you that? I'm getting angry.
You are?
You can end this now.
Are you going to spank me?
I'm going to spank you.
Spank her. Yes,
I'm going to spank you hard. I'm going to spank you till you bleed.
Right in Victoria's Secret?
Right in Victoria's Secret, because the carpet's already red there. No one will know.
Oh, my. All
right,
Steve.
Are you going to put me over your knee?
Yeah, I got to go.
Oh, you've been a lot of fun.
Thank you. You have, too.
You're a real cutie.
Thank you.
My name's Mika.
My name's Stephanie.
Yeah, I know Stephanie.
Goldstein.
You're a real sweetheart. You're a nice girlfriend.
Stephanie Goldenberg, like the peanut chews. Will you chew my peanut?
Okay. Mm. Is it bigger than a peanut?
Somebody's getting into this a little bit too.
Yeah?
Right. Say goodnight, Steve.
Bye.
How big is it?
Goodnight.
Oh, you're a sweetheart.
It's time for...
Hi, Steve. It was an up-and-down performance, but overall pretty darn consistent. With the
minds of you know, normally, I'll say this. Normally, the guys who are doing this try to keep it light.
Yes.
Steve, you really seem to have some of that inside you.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Steve. You
you know what it's from? It's writing all those Night Dream scripts.
Mm-hmm. You got the $50 from me for your wife's J.A. Boiling Tournament.
That's right, and I'm going to hold fast to 25, Steve.
That's not fair.
You take care of yourself.
That's not fair. That's not fair. You said you'd match. That's not fair.
No, I said I would decide how the performance was, and your bloody spanking just took you out of the running. I'm terribly sorry. That was over the line, and that's all there is to it.
That was over the line.
That's where I draw the line. A bloody spanking
coming from Mike the Censor. Listen, he'll give you the money too.
$50. Thank you.
You got it. No problem. All right. Shake the hand, close the deal.
Thank you, Steve. All right, see you later. See you later, Steve. See you later, potty mouth. Hey, Steve?
Good luck to you.
Okay.
really getting into it.
You know, normally we have to prompt them and tell them what to say.
Very understated, and then Steve just showed a great deal of initiative.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, and once again, we've donated to another charitable cause.
Absolutely.
Good for us. Bully for us.
That's right. J.A., $75.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our proposal is, come Wednesday's board meeting, you make an offer to buy the company at $75 a share.
$75? Jesus, that sounds high.
It is high. That's the idea.
It's got to be attractive as hell.
And still make sense to us, of course.
How much would that come to? At $75 a share, how much would we need to raise?
We'll be looking for $17 billion.
That's one piss load of money.
Exactly. We'll be throwing the kind of numbers at the board that no one else wants.
One shot, we're knocking out any and all conceivable competition. But at that price, with that kind of debt load, how long is it going to be before your bean counters start trying to pare down the company expenses, telling me how many jets I can have and all that nickel nursing crap?
Never. You run the company the way you want.
I'd have to borrow an extra ass to work off to do it, I can tell you that.
This is what you personally stand to make over the next 5 years once you take over RJR Nabisco.
Are these figures for real?
It'd be even more.
It's awfully rich, Ross, and it makes the deal much more difficult. I'm sure we wouldn't want to advertise those numbers to anyone, of course.
I think a skywriter would have enough smoke for them all, do you?
The Don and Mike Show. Even better than eating skin. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, is this Mindy?
Hello?
This is Melanie.
Melanie?
I hate Andy and the Acme.
Are you R-A-U-E-A, Eking Spay, Ig Pay, Atinlay?
S-A-I-A-M-A, Anye, I-A-N-K-U-D-E-D-E, Ude, Ide, Ili, Ray, Aspay.
Olde, Onhe, I own A, Avhe, Imte, Ute, Ig Spay, Ute, Uye, Ikosbe, Ide, Edile, Umfre, and Francisco say, Is a on a, the Ide, Einlay.
Is a at they okay, eh?
S-A-F-A, is a okay? Umfing say, I play at they.
Yeah, you lost me there.
You speak it fluently, and
it's my one true calling.
And I speak a little bit, but I have difficulty understanding it.
Listen, hold on a second.
Hold on, hey.
Is this Mindy?
This is Mindy.
All right, here she is now from San Francisco.
Hi, Mindy.
Hi. You lost me there a minute ago.
Not my favorite Mindy, Mindy Cohn.
Oh, Mindy Cohn. That's both of us. Stand in line for that Mindy.
Or Morgan Mindy. It's Mindy Levine?
Levine.
I always get that wrong.
Mindy Levine.
And Mindy is from San Francisco.
That's true.
She's the publicist for Good Vibrations, and that is a boutique in San Francisco.
That is true.
And I want to find out about National Vibration Month. Mindy, how did whoever the powers that be decide that May should be the month?
Yeah, but hammer.
Well, I would say that it actually was proclaimed last year for the first time, and it being the onset of spring, I think that probably was a good appropriate time.
I would have gone to the
semester. Although
nothing makes a happier holiday season.
It's been a wonderful month to celebrate, I can assure you.
Well, yes, I guess May has a lot of sexual significance in the calendar. You know, May Day. The merry month of May.
Mm-hmm.
The Maypole.
All right, now here's famous supporters of Nishi Abraham Day and Month.
Ah, very good.
Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
Sybil Shepherd.
But there's something interesting.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Uh-huh.
Roseanne.
Ah,
that's a dirty job.
Terrific.
Apparently you wouldn't bite your nails. Prince. You know, the artist formerly known as Prince.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Madonna.
Oh,
Jerry,
of course.
And Jerry Seinfeld. Now, Jerry Seinfeld hasn't endorsed National Women a Day and Month?
He hasn't, but he did have an episode called The Contest. The entire episode was devoted to the topic.
You haven't gotten like pieces of paper where these celebrities have signed off.
They haven't endorsed. These are people who are in our favorite Seinfeld Hall of Fame. So we're recognizing
the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame.
Well, right. You know, I can understand that with the Seinfeld episode. I know Roseanne's show spent a lot of time talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I don't want to.
I want to recognize these people who are willing to stand up and be counted in support of it.
I don't want to brag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
but I think I'm the Babe Ruth of this show. I believe I'm the Michael Jordan of Abraham.
Do you think you could be in the Hall of Fame?
Mike, I guarantee it.
There you go.
I guarantee
it. The Circle of Fame. That's what it should be, too. A Circle of Fame.
And Mindy?
Yes.
Do you yourself, Abraham, regularly?
Of course course I do.
And you support, what is the main goal of the month? Is it to let
basically,
people know it's okay or what?
Well, it's to celebrate,
celebrate
the joys of self-love. The majority of men and women do masturbate.
I've never thought
of it. Many are ashamed to admit it.
I've never thought of it as a celebratory thing. I think of it more as a...
Oh, I do. Whenever I do it, I always go, celebrate good times. Come on!
Well, we felt that every national holiday definitely merits a formal acknowledgement and proclamation.
Can I ask you a question about this?
Absolutely.
To me, it's, I understand the month proclaiming it's okay, and I think that's all well and good, and I think anybody that says, they don't do it, they're lying to you because everybody does it. But I always, of course, it's kind of a private thing more than anything else, right?
Sure.
And that's why it's just kind of interesting that...
Mike, more people should come out and say that they, like myself and my good friends,
yes,
Dennis Rodman...
Right?
Sybil Shepherd.
All the other people in the Hall of Fame.
So Sybil Shepherd likes to stir the soup, eh?
Well, I think the idea behind it is not that people have to run around proclaiming to friends and neighbors that they never signed, but
it's definitely
considered to be one of the last taboos in this country. Look at what happened to Dr. Elders when she proclaimed that it was, in fact...
The nut job.
Right.
She was thrown out of... What was her job? She had a very important
Surgeon
job.
Surgeon General, Don.
Yeah. Surgeon General.
Scourgeon General.
She was the Surgeon General, and that was the bane downfall of her.
Well, she suggested that, it's time that possibly, children be educated about it, which, of course, was very...
Yeah, let's keep them out of this.
Thing for her to say. So basically, we just think it,
as far as that one thing, as far as kids are concerned, I think it's just going to happen.
Sure, but
it's gonna happen.
Shouldn't be so much shame attached to it.
Uh-huh.
That's part of why we created this.
Wait till your kid's a little older, Mike. And we'll see how freewheeling you feel about that when that little discovery is made.
Well, no, what I'm saying is I don't think it should be taught. I think it should, that kind of thing. Things like that happen naturally, and I don't think you should accelerate it by teaching it in schools. I never thought about that.
Well, I think I don't think it has to be taught.
No, that's what I was saying. That's exactly what I was just saying.
When?
Just a moment ago when you weren't listening to me.
I know. I'm just nervously kicking my chair right now.
I know. It's an ugly subject.
No mention of Pee Wee Herman in this conversation.
I shouldn't have come out and announced that I'm such a fan of Mr. Eberstein.
Well, I'm certainly
not. The truth comes out about the Don and Mike show.
The homework is great.
All right, here, class, here's your homework assignment.
Now, listen, Mindy, what does Good Vibrations Boutique get out of all of this in San Francisco?
Well, basically, we're a shop that sells sex toys, books, and videos.
Gotcha.
So a lot of our the items that we sell will assist you in celebrating National Shaving Month, as well as we have a lot of educational videos and books and things like that. So... can I give the 800 number for the catalog?
Oh, please do.
Sure, we're just having an uncomfortable moment here.
Oh.
It's not easy being Babe Ruth.
And folks, screaming it from the highest mountaintop.
I'm the Babe Ruth of the ever time. What is your toll-free number there, Mindy?
It is 1-800-BY-VIBE. That's B-U-Y-V-I-B-E.
Uh-huh.
And folks should call up and ask for the catalog, and they get a lot more information about the company and our products and what we sell and all
that. And how will you be celebrating the last... How many days are left this month? 3 days?
Well, not too many days left.
How will you be celebrating the last 3 days of National Shaving Cream Month?
That's a good question. we've already kicked off most of our celebrations earlier in the month. We had a video screening, which was a salute to the Shaver Time.
Oh, now I finally have found the point of conversation in which even I'm ready to pull myself away from this.
The comfort zone has been, you've jumped
only
out of the comfort zone.
You might say.
What?
What's that?
Perhaps you might say only in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Sure.
I guess so.
Will there be any kind of parade?
Not for National Championship Month. Maybe next year, though.
Okay. Well, listen, it's a pleasure having you on the show,
Thank
Mindy.
Thank you very much.
And can I ask you, before you leave, the celebrity you think you most resemble? keeping in mind that it is National Championship Month. Mindy?
Question. I can't come up with anyone. Madonna, probably.
Oh, Madonna. You have blonde hair, Mindy?
I was just kidding, actually.
Oh, Mindy, come on.
I'm sorry.
We'd like a serious answer, please. Celebrity you think you most resemble?
Come on, Mindy. It's the only way we can have fun over the phone. Come on. You're selling the sex toys. Come on,
That's
Mindy.
True, but I don't think I really resemble anyone. I don't know. Let's see. Let me think for a second here. Well, someone recently said I remind him of Rene Russo, but you can't say that about yourself, can you?
That's just fine.
That's
Rene Russo.
Rene Russo gets Shorty, the girlfriend in Gets Shorty.
Why was I thinking that Rene Russo was the tennis player who was a guy, and then what was that?
Rene Richards. That's Rene the transsexual.
Wrong Rene. Okay. All right, well, good one. Good one for you, Mindy.
Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure having you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Rene Richards. Wow. I just want to say it's an honor to be in the same studio as the Bambino.
It's really tough when you got to go to the hospital, you got to see the sick kids, and they say, could you do it for me today?
Sure.
Listen, for you, little Johnny.
I think it's kind of neat. Well, you've told me. I've never seen it that you actually you'll be in whatever room you're in, and you'll point in the direction. Like the babe did.
By George left field. It's out of here. All right. It's national
shaver's time of the month. Okay. Let's all go shower.
Okay. Where's the big Latin lady?
I need her now.
Alohe.
Alohe.
Alohe. Igpe Atenle Adile.
Alohe Ari Uye.
Einfei, how hey, R.A. Uye.
I'm in Italy, Ilise today.
Oh, you're Ilise?
S-A-N-A, Italy.
Irius say?
Wait?
Irius say?
Serious?
Yeah.
Uye, Ude, Astrobase.
Ate is a ane ave orye is business day.
Erse it a is a.
Come on, gay.
I'll
say us say.
I'm say I
suppose. Ishe us day. Constantly K.
Uhe is a ide a liberty say uye osme isemble ray.
Odo a? That's a famous Rene. I don't know how to pronounce it. Remember Odo? I'm still playing the Rene game from Rene Russo. Rene Auberginois.
Right.
There's no way. Ane Ray Auberginois. I mean, his name regular sounds like Pig Latin. Odo from Deep Space Nine. What was the answer there, Melanie?
Oh, jeez. I onde one.
One. A ofe.
Ane ofe eskenque.
At what?
Ate is a ane ofe eskenque.
That's a difficult question.
One, S A Erlock Shay.
I'm on K.
Oh.
I'm on K. I'll say I'll say.
All right, listen.
Ishway, Ia, Okle, Igle, Udre, Eribe, Orme.
Uhe?
Udre, Eribe, Orme.
Oh, Drew Barrymore. Oh. Birdie Day, Earl Gay.
Ia, Ate, Alihe, Eribe.
Oh, Halle Berry.
Yeah,
like she said, Drew Barrymore. dirty Drew Barrymore.
At the US May, eBay, masturbation May.
Goodbye, A. Udgay, Ibay, Eleni May.
Udgay, Ibay.
All right. Ouch, A.
Bye.
Excellent, A. A. Bay, Uthre.
All right, now what is it? All right, we got a wrong call. Put the wrong call on hold. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Cheryl Golden. I was looking for the office manager.
Speaking.
I'm with Snelling and Snelling. I specialize in admin support recruitment.
Yes.
And the purpose of my call is to inform you about a great receptionist that we just recruited.
Really? Who is that?
I can't tell you her name, but I thought for sure you'd want to hear about her and that she'd probably be an asset to a company like yours.
Well, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Is she hot?
You're not allowed to ask me that.
Does she put out? My associate is on the line with me.
Uh-huh.
We normally, before we make the hire for the temp or for full-time, we need to know the celebrity she most resembles and her measurements.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are interesting questions.
Well, that's what we need to know. Is she, and as, you know, it's simply my associate here said, is she hot?
Who am I talking to?
Are you calling the data processing office?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Is she hot?
This is the data processing office.
Is this a difficult question for you?
No, it's an unusual one.
Most of the people we have that come into our office for the data processing have to be H-O-T with capital letters right across the board.
Mm-hmm. You guys sound like Don and Mike.
Yeah, well, this would be another one of our brainiac listeners who has, like, pressed the wrong dial on the speed dial.
Uh-huh. So absorbed with our show right now that they simply couldn't get the right number.
Listen, this is not the data processing office or whoever you think you're calling.
Well, thanks.
a radio program. And who's the celebrity you most resemble? We must have satisfaction on this.
I can't answer that question for you.
Oh, God, what's wrong with people?
And I bet you don't even celebrate National Sheriff's Hamlets, do you?
Of course not.
Of course you don't.
Oud Kevin Pray. Would be the celebrity.
Oud Pray.
Just to appease you guys.
Oud Pray. Idjit Pray. Idjit Pray. Oud Pray.
Idjit Sprood. All right, listen, ma'am, you have the wrong number.
Thanks.
Okay, goodbye.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, goodbye.
I say, woman way.
You know, that's one good thing is when you get phone calls that are the wrong number.
Yeah.
But it's a bad thing when you got so many fans that even if they call the wrong number, they figure out who it is.
Yeah, the worst thing we can get on a wrong number. So is this Don and Mike? That's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yo. Yo. Yo got a gift, my friend. Yo got a gift. Oh, yeah. You saw that there was something that I was trying to do, and you figured that out. That's why you are who you are. God bless you. You got a f***ing gift.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
Yes, you do.
The Don and Mike Show. Smoother than a fresh anal waxing. The Don and Mike Show.
May I have your attention?
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
Hey. We are fulfilling a 7-year contract at CBS. What are you doing?
Having some food, learning about Cuba.
Learning about Cuba. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
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 How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Welcome. Welcome to our band of idiots.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, come on, please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I just like to know where you guys broadcast from.
From an asylum, honey.
That's right, an insane asylum.
From a big rubber room.
We actually broadcast from a very large castle. With bars on the windows.
And a moat outside.
Very resembles the Tower of London.
Are you guys in New York?
Yes, we are. We're in Midtown Manhattan.
Okay. Why, pray tell, are you so curious about that?
Well, because you guys keep on saying, well, I know where I'm from Fairfax. You guys keep on saying that, you know, your zip code is 22030, and I was just wondering if you guys broadcast from Fairfax.
No, we just use that as a joke.
Yeah, we use that zip code.
Because Fairfax, Virginia, haven't you heard that was last on the list of cities where anybody would want to live?
No.
Or work? Oh, my God, I couldn't imagine how awful I'd feel if I had to go to Fairfax, Virginia to work every day.
It would really be a nightmare.
There's nothing wrong with Fairfax.
What a hellhole. Oh, no. I wouldn't be caught dead in Fairfax, Virginia. I mean that.
Yeah, when they said we were going to use this fake address as our, you know, our home base, they sent us a postcard of Fairfax, and we just went, yuck,
P.U.
Well, there's nothing special, but...
Nothing's better than New York.
We like New York, and we broadcast in the Lower East Side of New York City.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very close to Billy Joel's apartment.
Well, I've never even been up to New York, so I'll take your word for it.
Right next to a deli.
Well, thank you very much.
We're very hot in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Very hot. We're so popular in New York. And the big joke among all New Yorkers is that we broadcast from Fairfax, Virginia.
We get high fives in the hallway about that. So where does Fairfax, Virginia... You know how David Letterman does the, you know, the Scottsdale and,
the home office.
The home office. That's the whole concept that we do.
All right, we stole that from him.
But we've never changed it from Fairfax, Virginia.
It always gets a laugh.
It does.
Oh, it gets a hell of a laugh.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, I'm glad.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. There we go.
She's a whiny little runt, isn't she? I said runt.
Hey, come on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Stedman Graham. I'd like to say, hope you're liking the butt just fine.
That sounds almost like,
Darnell Valentine.
Hi,
this is Darnell Valentine. I'd like to say happy birthday to Grant Napier.
I love Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hell, got busy, I miss America like a bitch with a charge card at Bloomingdale's. Had a health plan idea, but it didn't pass.
I don't know. Everybody has got their own wacky tapes today that's calling us up.
I'm beginning to see the portrait of our listeners. What they're doing is we have 5 million people that are all doing their own individual show today.
Hello. Through us, these 5 million people have an outlet for their stifled creativity.
Absolutely. This has really replaced the traditional amateur hours that you used to see
okay,
in the 30s.
Come on, everybody. The joke's over. Where's our regular listeners?
Yeah.
Okay. Is everybody pulling a giant practical joke on us today?
It could be. You know, these are the kind of people that would be late for April Fool's Day.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, Don and Mike. Hello.
Is this me?
Yes, you're on the air.
New York City.
That would fall into another. We've got lots of performers today.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Jesus Christ.
Next.
Hey? Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, wow, that was fast. Hi, my boyfriend's in that band of idiots.
Which band of idiots?
You were talking about just a few minutes ago. Today's my birthday.
Honey, which band of idiots are you talking about?
One of the band of idiots that called just a few minutes ago.
One of the band of idiots.
Right.
You're confusing me there because you're saying band of idiots, but yet you're saying one of them. So was it, you mean one idiot?
Yeah.
Did your husband call us earlier?
It was my boyfriend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ah, your boyfriend.
Your boyfriend. And what would your boyfriend's name be?
It would be Jamie.
Jamie.
Jamie. Yeah.
Jamie, was he doing? Was he performing for us today?
He just dropped the ball. He just laughed.
He just laughed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you're a lucky lady.
Yeah.
What can we do for you?
Well, today's my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was calling to see if I could get anything special.
What? Get anything special?
Yeah.
We normally don't give away anything special.
Oh, all right. Well.
Okay. Thank you.
A birthday wish.
A birthday wish?
Yeah.
A birthday wish. That, you know, lots of other shows do birthday wishes. We don't do that on this particular show.
I wish you Jungle Rot.
Great, thanks.
Topped off by Dingy Fever.
Thank you. Okay, now, everybody, listen, really. You know, the joke's over, okay?
We're ready now.
Okay.
We're ready now, and that's good.
Come on.
It's been an interesting first hour and a half, and we're ready now for some regular stuff.
Come on. Where's the regular callers?
Here we go.
Although, I've got to say,
yes.
on behalf of our regular callers, they're just a notch above the calls we've been taking today.
That's right.
But really.
Getting to the point in the program where we perhaps need that extra notch.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
Me?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hello, Kelly. Well, you know what? Perhaps, perhaps now the joke is finally over.
Yes, she has said her name, and she is, it sounds like it has potential to be a somewhat normal call.
Yeah, I was cutting the grass, and I decided to stop and call you guys.
Beautiful.
I have a problem. I was hoping that Mike might be able to help me with it.
Really?
Baby.
Yeah.
Baby.
All right, man. I'm here to help you.
We live out in the country. We're in Virginia, in Rappahannock County, and we're having a bear problem.
Are you having a fire problem out there also?
Actually, there's a fire burning in...
I'd like to say thank you to the United States Park Service who set a fire that went out of control. They were going to do like a controlled burn,
right.
And they set the woods on fire. Now it's a major forest fire, and I'd just like to say... Yeah, this is all right. What this is a controlled burn, and we're just, going to regenerate the forest with the wind starting to
get
blow.
Joe,
you're only supposed to burn a couple of acres.
Get to know Charlie.
Joe, you're going to kill lots of people.
Oops, Charlie, that was my fault,
yeah.
As usual.
Whee! Well, you know, you guys laugh, but those are the same people that I had to call about my bear.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I thought you said you were having a beer problem, and that's why you called Mike.
No, I was wondering.
Why would you call Mike about a bear problem? What does Mike know about bears?
Well, you know, most people know that I'm a lifelong outdoorsman.
He's got all those power tools and chainsaws.
Yes. Oh, that's right. I forgot how macho he is. I'm sorry.
Let me just slip into my flannel shirt before I answer this question. You have a bear problem?
Well, we've had a bear that keeps coming to visit, and
yes.
He is huge.
Mm-hmm. Are you leaving any food out on your deck or anything? Or is there any dog food or any food products at all around the house?
Well, yeah, there was, but it's gone now, and he keeps coming back. But the problem that I had was the game.
Do you have a deck? Hold on a second. I'm trying to help you here. Do you have a deck?
Do I have a what?
Do you have a deck?
Yes, I do.
All right, do you have a jar of peanut butter?
Yes, I do.
All right, what I want you to do, and this will make the bear go away, you take peanut butter and you run it all the way along the railing of the deck. Thick. Don't be skimpy. You really thick, run it around the perimeter of the deck.
Okay.
All right, really thick, like an inch thick, all peanut butter, and if you do that, the bear will go away. I know this because I've spent my life in the outdoors.
Okay, well, if I'm confronted, I was always told to lay down and play dead.
No, you don't want to even have that happen. Just get the peanut butter on the deck and go inside and wait for the bear to go away.
Well, you know, I knew you'd be able to help me.
My pleasure.
All right, because he's a mountain man.
I appreciate it.
That's right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
No more bears for her. They hate the stuff. It scares them. Yep. The scent scares them.
Good advice, Mike.
Thank you very much, Don.
Because you're such an outdoorsman at all.
That's right. The bear, peanut butter. Knew it right away.
Didn't know that.
See, to me, the bear would probably come up and want to eat the peanut butter.
Yeah, well, that's what you would think. But I know that, being a lifelong outdoorsman.
And then after the bear eats the peanut butter, he gets hungry like for man meat.
Right.
Then he'd probably crash through the doors and eat her family.
I certainly hope that doesn't happen.
Hello?
He puts one of your boys in the hospital, you put one of his in the morgue. That's the Chicago way, with feta cheese.
All right, there's somebody. Two kind of regular calls in a row. Feeling better about this now.
Moving in the right direction.
Feeling better. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? All right, not feeling so great. That's all right. That's all right. Ebb and flow, baby.
Ebb and flow.
Ebb and flow, that's what it's all about.
It's the name of our show, the Ebb and Flow.
I'm Ebb.
And I'm Flo.
Stand by for Paul Z coming up tonight. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Kosovo, what I did to Baghdad. Want to send in ground troops to stop that Pelosi bitch? Knock him for a loop because he's just a punk-ass bitch.
That's the name of our show, the Ebb and Flow.
I mean, I don't mind you to waste our time, but don't waste our time with bad Bill Clinton parody songs, man.
Please, please.
Hello, Dynamite.
Hi, Dynamite.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, okay.
I was wondering if you guys could leave an answer machine message for my wife and I. It's our anniversary today, 4 years. I'm a big, big fan since WAVA.
Sure, be glad to. And what's your name?
Steve.
Steve, and what's your wife's name?
Dawn.
Steve and Dawn?
Yep.
Dawn, like Dawn for dishes?
Sure.
Steve and Dawn.
Steve and Dawn. All right.
So I guess I'll put on hold and give you my phone number, if possible.
Why do we need your phone number, sir?
Well, I'm on the line that the answer machine's on.
Can't you record it off the
radio?
Off the radio?
No, I'm a loser.
How do you propose we do this for you?
Well, if possible, you can call back. I know it's a big showstopper, but I love you guys.
And leave it on your answering machine?
If possible, sir.
And then how would you get it from your answering machine onto your answering machine?
You know, from the message part to the...
I think that's how it would end. At least, my wife would really enjoy it. I have no...
Wait, hold on a minute.
I'm nervous.
Noodle this through, though. Let's say we do, on the off chance, call your answering machine, and we do leave you the message. How do you then get it off your answering machine message tape onto the greeting?
I guess I need to be prepared and have a tape by my side.
Yeah, I tell you what, sure. Hold on. Robbie, get this guy's phone number.
Thanks.
Okay.
Get this guy's phone number.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I'll leave him a special message.
Mm-hmm. It's good, because he hasn't noodled it through.
No. No, he hasn't.
No, the idea is very nice, but he hasn't given it.
And we generally don't do that. Although we one time worked for a general manager that really thought we could make $1 million
right.
by doing that for people and charging them $5 each
yep.
and getting on the radio and announcing it.
Right.
Still on line one.
Still
good idea, Dean.
Okay. All right. Hang up now. We're going to call you back. Leave you a message.
Thanks, guys. You're the best.
Right. Thank you.
Bye.
Here we go. You know, he really wanted us to do this, and that's the way he did everything, too. He figured $5 a pop was the way to do it.
Alan Goodman, that was the general manager that came up with that great idea.
One of those days when he was wearing the red tails and his top hat when he'd come to work.
Really wish we could say the F word on the radio. Judge, I'd like to say, hey, Steve and Dawn, you know, F you, and really say it. Maybe I'll say it and just delete it out. That'd be a message you'll never forget. Nimrod.
Hi, you've reached 47.
Okay.
Please leave a message and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, hey, Steve and Dawn.
This is Don and Mike.
Hey, you.
Oh, my God.
There's an answering machine message that you kids will treasure forever.
Put it on your greeting.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Can't wait till he calls back with the thank you.
Well, we're going to call him back. We'll call him back right now and ask him
See if he got it. That's good. Because he knows it's been delivered now, and we'll just see if he got it. A special anniversary message.
Got a mic show.
Did you get the message?
Haven't heard it yet.
You haven't heard it yet?
Well.
But let me go listen to it.
You mean you weren't standing by?
I was being a radio guy with my blanket out.
Okay, so you haven't heard it yet?
No, sir.
All right. Go listen to it. I'll call you back.
Oh, thank you, sir.
All right. Okay, we'll do it right now.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, look, man, you're the chick with the bear?
Yes, the chick with the bear.
You should have handled it like Steve Irwin. You know, maybe go run out and jump up and down, and maybe he'll bite your liver out by cracky.
Okay, by cracky. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
He was amused.
By cracky.
He was totally amused by...
and whatnot, by cracky and whatnot.
By cracky.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, guys.
That's what I think that guy's going to do when he gets done talking to us. He could go buy crack.
Buy crack.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Yes, we're here.
All right. Hey, I answered a personal ad in the Post. I've got a blind date tonight and a blind date tomorrow night. Got any advice?
Yes, shoot yourself.
Thanks. See ya.
I mean, like,
thanks. See ya.
That's very good advice. I'm right, calling the guy back now to see if he answered. You think we've given him enough time?
Yeah. You want advice? You answered a blind ad in the Washington Post?
Right.
Prepare to be anally taken. What? Hello?
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
It was awesome. You loved it. So you didn't mind the F-bomb?
Oh, no, definitely.
There you go. All right.
Money.
All right.
Okay.
That's money. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Love you, John.
Love you, sir. Love you.
Can I get a DJ challenge?
No, come on. We just gave you a fabulous answering machine. Come on. Get off our phone.
John, Harvey, I love you.
We've right, given and given and given.
All right, please.
You can be $5 richer now.
Goodness sakes. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'd like Don and Mike to give me my birthday spanking.
How old are you?
19.
Oh, you don't sound it, honey. I got to check your ID.
How?
And your radio would be turned up a little too loud also.
It's off now.
What year were you born?
I'm 19.
What year were you born?
79.
No. Come on. You can't even think on your feet. Please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
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 Are you very, very sick?
Would you identify yourself?
Would you identify yourself? Hello, Major Bill?
I beg pardon.
Major Bill, I beg your pardon?
I don't know, Don.
I don't know, Don. Okay, bye, Major Bill. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Ted McGrann. I want to say that okay. I'd like to be there, too.
This would be our 11th performance
enough.
Artist.
Enough. That's it. Ooh. We've done nothing but give for the entire day tonight. That's it. We're done giving.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
When the tumor was dissected into tiny pieces and analyzed, pathologists found it to contain some very bizarre things.
A dermoid is an unusual type of tumor. It can contain any type of human tissue. And in fact, this patient had both hair and teeth in portions of this massive tumor.
The Don and Mike Show.
Testicle. 1, 2, 3. Oh, so that's your secret.
The Don and Mike Show.
Rita got up yesterday morning to go to the Dalai Lama. Now, she had to leave like at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it started very early.
She didn't get back home last night till almost 8 o'clock. No. Sounded like a goddamn Mooney meeting to me, or one of those, what's that, S? That thing where people used to go to... Listen,
transcendental meditation.
That too. People used to go to sit in a room and have some guy tell them that they couldn't pee.
Right. That was asked. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Guys like would spend all weekend sitting in a room not peeing, and they'd pay some guy.
Right.
Well, this is what I equate free to go in to see the Dalai Lama. With.
The Lama.
Seems like some kind of mind control. You know, she pays an astronomical amount of money.
I read the article about the Lama in the Washington Post, and, you know, not that the Washington Post really can tell me anything about anything anymore, but it was kind of strange that he didn't, I guess humility is a lot of what it is in the teachings of the Dalai Lama, and so he kind of said one of the first things, I have nothing to tell you, is kind of interesting, and then they had a little lesson that they learned. It was tough to decipher.
She came back with 12 pages of notes.
Yeah, they said a lot of people were furiously writing notes when he was speaking.
Wow. If you want to talk to a nice Chinese guy, you know, go to the Chinese restaurant downtown. You want to see a guy that's really got something to say. And she even, I say she was bored, but she says she was so into it that at one point she actually drew a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little sketch, a little picture of him sitting up at this little desk.
He's a holy man, you know.
So 3 hours she sat for the first session.
Right.
And she said that the security was tighter than going, like, to the president inaugural ball or something like that.
Yeah, that's the Tibet thing, I guess, the Free Tibet, because, you know, they're considered dissidents as far as the Chinese government is concerned.
She said they went through her entire pocketbook. They even went through her day planner and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets in there, and she's, like I say, she's there from 6 in the morning to 8 at night. About 12 o'clock, I start watching football. About 1 o'clock, Bart goes up the street to a friend's house, and I'm thinking... Ah,
yeah.
Now I got it.
You're peace. Set. Peace and quiet.
So I think it's cold outside. It's kind of misty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'd like to do?
I'd like to get a big fire going.
I did the same thing.
I'd like to get a fire going, mm-hmm. kick back.
It's great.
Get one of my Fuente cigars.
It's one of those good, there's something about football and being a cold day where that's terrific.
Now, I go into the family room or where the fireplace is.
Mm-hmm.
They got, it's not a flume, it's a flu.
A flu, right.
A flu. Now, I know I've called it the flume before, but it's a flu.
That's right.
Fire flu, log flume.
So what I do is, I reach up there. And I pull down the thingamajig, the handle, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I pull it down, and I see the handle hanging down.
Right.
Now, as it turns out, I don't go to look, right?
You got
to
look. You got to get on your back. You got to lie down. You got to reach, stick your head in there, and you got to look and see the daylight
above
it.
It's very sooty. It's very dirty, and I'm a delicate man. I don't want to get all dirty.
Right.
So I go, all right, pull that thing down again. Okay?
Figured it was open.
Open sesame. So go out and get the logs. And because I like a big roaring fire,
of course.
I get some of those starter babies.
Sure.
And now it says to only use one.
But you use four?
Three.
Oh, God.
Three of them. I swear to God, this is absolutely
true. You have more fuel in your fireplace. You could send another space shuttle up there.
So I got three of those things, and then I put the two logs on top of it.
Right.
And I put, like, the whole Sunday newspaper underneath.
You put paper in there, too, huh?
Oh, yeah, sure. I want it to go up right away.
Absolutely.
So I light the thing on fire.
Did you put the paper on top of the starters?
Okay. I put it on
bottom, and then you put the starters on top of the paper.
No, the starters are on top of the grate.
Okay.
And then the logs are on top of the starters.
And the paper underneath.
And the newspaper is bunched on top of underneath.
Okay.
Yeah. So I get one of those big, long-ass matches. You know, we got the matches that are about yo long.
Right? Fireplace matches.
Right.
Safe.
So I light it up. I think, this is fantastic. I sit down.
About that time the fog comes in.
I'm watching the game.
God.
I'm watching the Minnesota game. It's on for maybe 10 minutes. All of a sudden I notice, man, that, like, the smoke is not going up the chimney.
Right.
Right? So, because I'm a stupid man, I go outside. I'm looking up at the chimney, and I'm trying to see if there's smoke coming out. I swear to God. And I'm looking up and go, well, it's cloudy. I can't tell.
Yeah. But
sure do smell it. All right, it must be okay. I go back in the house, and I wait a minute. And all of a sudden, I look up. Now, where our fireplace is, the wall's painted white.
Oh, you can't see the wall at this point. Huh?
I noticed that the wall, like on top of the fireplace, it's pitch black.
Yeah.
It's like all the smoke and stuff
right.
has it's tainted the painting.
Soot.
The paint on the wall. All the soot, right, Buzz? Now, at this point, the fire alarms go off.
Yeah.
Both of them go off.
Good.
Beep, 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 beep. And then the dogs are going crazy. The three dogs are howling. Now,
could you observe the smoke pouring in from the fire? It's usually pretty easy to see.
Smoking a cigar, Mike. and really, to be honest with you,
right.
The smoke seemed to get thick all of a sudden.
Okay. Yeah.
And now I'm flipping out.
Because right.
Now the dogs are barking.
Sure.
The house is not just a little bit of smoke. The house is freaking full of smoke.
At what point do you go back to the flu to adjust
it? I open up the doors, the glass doors on the fireplace.
Uh-huh.
I can't get to the flu because I put so many starter logs that the fire is gigantic.
Yeah. So you can't reach in there because your hands would get burned.
As a matter of fact, see, I got burns on my fingers from where I opened the doors to the fireplace, the glass doors.
Wow.
Because they were so hot.
Sure.
Now, at this point,
you got a little insert in there, a little fireplace insert in there, or is it just a glass built-in?
It's just glass built-in.
Okay.
Now, at this point, the ledge, the mantle
right.
on top of the fireplace,
right.
it is so hot, it's black, but I notice that the paint is starting to boil.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there are fever blisters that are coming out on the paint because on the mantle because it's so hot
right.
that, like, all these big pimples are showing up on this thing.
You must have a bonfire going in that thing, the likes of which you've never had before.
So now I'm really flipped out. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I am going to burn down the friggin' house while my wife is at the Dalai Lama.
See, all the heat was coming out the front of the fireplace directly up over to the mantle.
You are correct, sir.
Oh, my God. Oh,
so now I'm flipped out. Now I must have spent 2 solid minutes just standing there,
of course,
looking at it, thinking, I did. Took the batteries out of the smoke alarms because
right.
that was too annoying. Then I opened all the doors. Now, at this time,
when you're in danger of your house burning down, take the batteries out of the smoke alarms.
At this point, the kitchen ceiling has turned black because there is so much billowing smoke.
Oh, my God.
Going through the house. You know, our family room is right by the kitchen there, okay?
Yeah.
So now I'm flipped out. So I
fire extinguisher.
Oh, no.
I don't know where the fire extinguisher is. I run down to the basement. I can't find the fire extinguisher.
Do you have any kind of gloves or anything that you can use?
No, hell no. What am I going to use, a big oven mitt?
I have fireplace gloves that are thick, like a thick leather that you
can use. Nah, we got nothing like that. So finally I go back to the kitchen, and now I'm going crazy. Now I'm underneath where the pots and pans are, and I get a couple of pots.
Water.
Like cooking pots, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I fill it up with water, run from the kitchen over to the fireplace. Dogs are still going crazy, pushing the dogs out of the way. Open up the doors. That's where I get the burns on my hands from opening the doors. Put the water on. But the thing still burns.
Yeah.
So I go back to the kitchen. I get more water. I come back. Thing is still burning. And now
the house smells pretty good at this point. I would
now think. I'm starting to choke from the smoke. This is how bad it is.
Yeah.
I go back a third time. Get the water. Put it on. Finally, the fire is out. Now, at this point, I got to figure out, how do I get the logs out?
Right?
Because the logs, now that I've put the water on, the logs are super smoked.
Yeah, now they're smoldering. Yeah.
Now there's much more stuff coming. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, first thing I try to do, I just reach in with my hand.
Aye!
Right. Aye! Ow, ow, ow! Now, man.
I put water on them. They should be cool now.
Right, now I'm jumping around like this going, ow, 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 ow. So what I do is, I go back to the kitchen, and I get out some cookie tins.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Here's my thought. I'm going to take the fireplace, the poker thing. I'm going to roll the log out, put it on the cookie tin, and then run the log outside and throw it in
Don't
the backyard.
Don't you have the thingies? Don't you have the little things?
I got the thingies. I got the tongs.
The tongs.
The logs are huge.
Yes, right. Obviously from the size of the fire that, you know.
Right, it's not like I could just reach in with the tongs and daintily pull out the logs. I would have done that, I swear to God.
Okay, all right, so you get big logs.
So now I got the big logs, and now what I do with the tongs, I'm moving it out, I got the tongs in one hand, and I got the little fireplace shovel in the other.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to get the logs out.
Logs are hard to handle.
Finally
in any condition.
I finally get the first log out, and it falls on the floor.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Is that where that white carpeting is?
Burn a hole in the carpet.
Oh, Jesus.
A piece of ash falls off, and right away, I burn a hole in the carpet. So now I'm sort of going, what do I do? Do I clean up the carpet now? I still got the two logs that are smoldering.
For God's sakes, open the flue. You got to open the flue.
I thought I had it open. It never even occurred to me to go back to try to open it up.
Yeah.
So I do the exercise where I finally get both logs out. I get them on the cookie tins. I bring them out on the deck. Throw them off the deck. Then I'm worried because the dogs are going over by. I'm going, hey, what is this? Ooh, this looks
right.
I'm screaming at the dogs, don't do that, don't do that.
Yeah.
I go inside. I can't even see my kitchen because the smoke is so thick and so dense. But finally the fire is out.
Uh-huh.
So what I did was I open up every window.
Right.
It's freezing cold outside. I open every window. I turn the air conditioning on. I come around going like this with my hand like
right.
Goodbye, smoke. Goodbye, smoke. Finally, an hour later, 1 hour later, 2 o'clock, all the smoke is gone. And it's at this point that I look and I see our kitchen, the ceiling, black.
Come on, man.
Charcoal black.
It's like a big streak of black smoke that poured along the ceiling.
The fireplace? Forget about it.
Really?
Oh. I mean, it's totally black. We have a big picture hanging in a frame over that.
Yeah.
An hour later, I go to touch the picture because it's all black, like the glass is black. Burn my hand again because the picture is still hot an hour later.
Oh, my God.
And now I'm like a little kid. Like when one time my brother and I were playing ball in the house.
Right.
And we broke one of my mom's tables, one of her fancy tables. She used to put like her vases and stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And we, rather than tell her, we got some glue and we glued it back together.
Oh, yeah. You're thinking about what can you do to make this thing right.
This is the same thought I'm having right
Where's
now.
Where's the paint?
I'm thinking, I cannot let Frida see this. She will know that I have burned the house down. Meanwhile, smells like a freaking barbecue in there.
Uh-huh.
So,
have you opened the flue yet?
No! Didn't open it till she got home.
Ah.
So,
did she open it?
Yes. So the first thing that I had to do, I figure, is clean the kitchen ceiling.
Because okay.
That's
probably doable.
And it was.
Right? Good.
I got out the pine salt and the Lysol, and I put on the rubber gloves. And I spent
kind of like a layer of ash is
right.
What it is.
I spent an hour, and I got all the kitchen ceiling clean.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it going, you know what? Couldn't even tell I almost set the house on fire. Beautiful.
Good.
Then I go over to scrub the fireplace.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
To scrub the wood on top of the fireplace and the mantle.
Mm-hmm.
Won't come off.
Yeah. It's a little more singed, huh?
Charred.
Yeah.
Absolutely charred. So at this point,
I don't know what to do. I say, ah, oh, screw it. The house doesn't smell anymore. Maybe she won't notice it.
Right. And she'll be very peaceful after spending the afternoon with the Dalai Lama.
So finally, I was done. I set the house on fire like at 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Between the time you started your fire and you realized there was a problem, how much time had passed?
10 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't until 3:30 that I got done cleaning the kitchen ceiling and got went with the vacuum cleaner, cleaned up all the ashes and all the crap that was around.
Right.
Finally, about 3:30, like, well, you know what? Maybe she just won't notice it. So, screw it. I went back and I watched the games. She gets home about 8 o'clock. She got the radar.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I've got
probably smelled it as soon as she walked in the house.
No, I had the windows open all day. Smell.
Watching the games in your parka.
Smell, gone. You would never know I almost set the house on fire.
That's great luck.
Yeah. She comes in, and I've got the lights off in the family room.
Right.
And there's only one light on in the kitchen. She comes in and she goes, hi, how'd everything go today? I go, hi, honey. Oh, the Redskins are winning. She goes, great, great, great. Immediately, you know how my favorite Martian's got those antennas that come out of his head? Immediately, she walks in the house, and it's like she's drawn to it. She goes, right over to the right, she goes, what happened here by the fireplace? It's like, I swear to God, she got radar.
All women have this.
I said, honey, the flume. She said, it's a flume, not a flume. I said, the flume wouldn't open. I almost set the house on fire today. She looks at me. She goes, same thing you just said.
Right.
She said, did you look in to see if it was open? I said, no, I pulled the handle down. It must have been open. She said, you pull the handle down, you close it.
You push the handle up to open it.
I know that now. She said, did you look in? After you pulled the handle, did you stick your head in there and look in to make sure it was open? I said, no, we got all dirty.
You just felt movement from the handle, which indicated
that
it
pulled
was,
it down.
And you assumed that it was closed. And
right, would you assume you make an ass out of you and me? So she stood there and she just looked at me. She didn't even, now fortunately, she didn't even know about the kitchen ceiling.
Right, right.
Because I did such a nice job cleaning that
up. You did a good job cleaning that.
So while I watched the end of the Redskins game, my wife went down and got the paint and repainted. Although she tells me that we're still going to have some work done because those big heat blisters.
Yeah, right. Where the paint bubbled.
Yeah, those.
That could have started the house on fire.
Those won't go away. So that was,
that's the heat of the fire, which had to be, I mean, it had to be an incredible bonfire.
I had three of those fire starter logs in there.
And it was reaching over. You know, that's almost like flame coming out.
I know, that's when I got really scared, man.
Oh, my God.
You're lucky to be alive.
Yes, I am, bud.
And then you learn something out of it, too. You push up for the flue to be open and, pull in for it to close.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm never allowed to have a fire again when my wife's not home. That was the other thing I learned yesterday. Sure.
Fire Marshal Donnie.
Never allowed to have a fire. Oh, I flipped out. You should have seen me when I was flipping out when I realized that the house was, like, almost going to burn down.
Do you, most often in your house when you're having company over or something like that for special occasions, do you handle the fire duties?
Yeah, but she always opens the flue.
The flue, that's right.
Flue, but as I mentioned, I'm not allowed to anymore.
First fire of the season. It was almost a real big one.
Literally.
Okay, a quick break. I got more weekend junk to tell you, too. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
You'll laugh till you crap your pants. The Don and Mike Show.
Let's try the Barbara Streisand.
All right, let's see if there's somebody there that we can actually talk to.
In San Francisco.
Find out about the grand opening.
Oh, excuse me. I misdialed.
Evergreen, ageless, and evergreen.
All right, the name of the museum?
Hello, Gorgeous. See how things are progressing.
Tried earlier this week, unable to get a human being. It was a machine.
You think they'll have a bust of Barbara?
Hello, Gorgeous. You have reached the general voicemail system for San Francisco's one and only store, gallery, museum tribute to America's first boy, Barbara Streisand.
It's going to be funnier if we did it.
I'll provide you with immediate information or to leave a message.
Yeah.
Please listen carefully and make one of the following selections by using the pound sign and the mailbox number after the final beep.
Yeah.
For John Ross's dance studio, press the pound sign and number one after that. For general information about Hello Gorgeous, Business hours and location.
Yeah.
Press the pound sign and number 2 after the beep.
Hey.
For information about the
after
children
the beep,
will listen
sorry.
Preview benefit on April 12th.
Press the pound sign after the beep.
Premier Gala.
I don't want to wait for the beep.
Well, you got to be patient, you bitch.
Press the pound sign and number 3.
You're a queen, bitch.
For information
you're a queen
about
mother bitch.
Gorgeous, the bi-monthly limited edition
you're the bitchiest.
Magazine. Press the
thank
pound
you.
Sign and number 4 after the final beep.
And you're the dreamiest.
If you are the media or press calling and you'd like to receive information,
yeah.
Press the pound sign and number 7.
Okay.
Please enter your selection now. We do apologize. You may experience a delay in getting back with you. Thank you for calling Hello Gorgeous.
Ah, see, it's popular.
Bye.
You're welcome, Gorgeous.
Where's the...
I pressed 2.
Hello?
Thank you again for calling Hello Gorgeous. Hello Gorgeous is a store as well as... Hello?
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 Hi.
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike. We're doing our national radio show right now. We're calling the Hello Gorgeous Museum.
Yes, you are. Are you on the air right
yes.
now?
Yes. Yes, we're doing our show right now, Westwood One Entertainment.
Did you call earlier this week?
Yes.
Yes.
Was I? I mean, you left a message, right?
Yes, we did.
Yes. How can I help you?
Tell us all about the museum.
Well, we have original artwork from artists from around the world.
Yeah.
Paintings capturing Barbara's memorable moments from different movies. And
Star is Born.
From her singing career. And
yeah.
We have, you know, dolls that have been made of Barbara.
Any locks of Barbara's hair? What about the plates she ate off?
We have Barbara wigs and nails like butter.
Like butter?
Nails like butter?
Yep.
What about the plates? Plates she ate off?
We have people, a good portion of her business comes from her fans and merchandise that comes to us on consignment.
Have the plates been authenticated?
Well, one person bought them at Christie's Auction House when
oh.
she was doing her auction.
Listen, I feel the need to speak to you about something, okay?
Yes.
We're talking with these affected voices right now, okay? But we're not like regular DJs who's talking with affected voices. We do a radio program, which I'm sure has never been heard like in San Francisco. Hello?
Yes, I'm
here. Okay, you're still there. I'll talk in my regular voice for a moment.
Yes, please. Talk in your regular voice.
We do a radio show that has no boundaries, and we have a lot of gay fans who listen to the program and enjoy the fact that we make fun of gays the same way we make fun of straights. We really don't care what someone does in their private life.
Absolutely not.
With somebody else. However, we don't see a reason that gay people and gay activities should not be lampooned as any other activities are not lampooned.
So we just wanted to make that clear, you know, just so we could explain that to you and perhaps explain our message left earlier this week, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're coming from.
So, I mean, I guess after saying that, can we go back to speaking the way we were speaking before?
Well, you can speak any which way you'd like.
God bless you.
Let me explain to you where some of our humor comes from when it comes to the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the Larry Sanders Show?
I am not.
All right, well, here's a tape from the Larry Sanders Show. Maybe you'll think that this is funny. We really do.
Let us know if you think it's funny.
I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
Now, since we've...
And you can stop laughing.
Yeah, we didn't get it.
Since we started playing that tape of the character of Hank Kingsley saying, Elton John is a gay,
right?
Mm-hmm.
We've had all kinds of people on our show, including Scott Thompson, who
sure.
was on that TV show and in the Kids in the Hall, and here's what he has to say.
This is Scott Thompson saying, Don and Mike are a gay.
Now, okay. Do you get the joke now?
Now we got a guy from Scotland.
Don and Mike are a gay.
Now we got another guy from Scotland.
Don and Mike are a gay.
This is our new kick now, that we are a gay.
Because we thought it was so darn funny that Hank Kingsley on the Larry Sanders Show says a gay. We just thought it was funny.
See, now we can finally get past that, and so you don't think that we're homophobes or homo bashers or anything, because we're not. If we can get past that,
yes,
then perhaps we can discuss the Hello Barbara Museum.
And plug it all you will.
Right, well, that's fine with me. You can speak any which way you want. I will speak the way I would like to, so...
Good. You speak that way, we'll speak this way. Now,
when is the grand opening?
Well, we do not open to the public until May 10th, and we are doing a premier
gala on April 27th, and the night before we're also doing a preview benefit for the San Francisco Child Abuse Council.
Is there any chance that the lady herself will show up?
I don't think so. But
bummer.
She hasn't been invited. We did send her information via her sister, and she has received that. And of course, we're not out to take advantage of Barbara's celebrityship, but we did invite her to come to the museum.
You're not going to have anything about Yentl, are you?
Oh, we have plenty about Yentl.
Oh, I hated that movie, Yentl. She played the boy.
Oh, well.
Yuck, I didn't like that. What's your favorite Barbara Streisand movie?
I like Funny Girl.
Ah, yeah.
Funny Girl,
there,
didn't like it?
First. There we are all together. Funny Girl, the simply with Omar Sharif, the best one.
Yeah. Right, and she... And...
Although I kind of like What's Up, Doc, with Ryan O'Neal.
Is that the one where she wore the hands on her boots?
That's the Al and the Pussycat.
Al and the Pussycat, you're
the
right.
The one with Ryan O'Neal where they're the boxers.
You seem to know an awful lot about Barbara Streisand. Right?
I am a gay, okay?
There you go.
I know all about it. What about the T-shirt with the hands on it? Do you have a T-shirt with hands on it?
From the Al and the Pussycat, that kind
yes.
of thing?
Yes.
No, that was an outfit, a costume that was made for that film. I don't even know if that was really that popular of a film.
Do you have any costumes from her movie Funny Girl or Funny Lady?
Any what?
Do you have any costumes from Funny Girl or Funny Lady?
We have some original interpretations of it, but not the authentic costume.
Oh, tacky, I have something. Would you like
tacky.
Would you like this?
How about this? I happen to have a vial of Chris Christopherson's phlegm that he coughed up on the set of A Star Is Born. It's
great.
Crystallized in hard rock chunk form.
Is it still radioactive?
It is, but it would make a dreamy pair of earrings. Perhaps we could donate that to the Barbra Streisand Museum.
I'd love to see that behind glass.
Now, are you the man behind this? Are you the man that's been spearheading this effort?
Yes, I am.
So would you be a Barbra fanatic?
What's a fanatic?
A fan, a super deluxe fan, a fan of biblical proportions.
I wouldn't say so.
Have you sunk any of your own money into this?
I've spent like any other business. I have invested money into it. Yes.
How much have you spent? A lot.
That's a personal thing.
I know, but can we please get personal? Have you spent $10,000?
I think people can come and see what we've done, and it will speak for itself.
Are you hoping that you're gonna make a lot of money with this museum?
That wasn't my intention, but...
Come on now, you can be honest with us. Not even a small intention?
I mean, I'm a business, so I have to...
He wants to make some money. Sure. We hope he makes a lot of money.
Who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble, so we can get a mental picture of you?
I have a guess. I think you look like Niall from Frasier.
Are we saying well, we made you laugh?
We
now.
Made him laugh.
We made him laugh.
We finally made him laugh.
Made him laugh. Now he's getting the spirit of the show.
Absolutely.
Who do you think you look like?
I don't really know.
Oh, come on. Everybody thinks they look
please,
like somebody.
Please, celebrity you must remember. Please, please, please.
I look like Barbara. What do you think?
There you go.
Do you ever dress like a woman, or is that out of your league?
Come on, now. Do you ever dress like Barbara? Please tell us.
Please.
No, I don't.
Bummer. No, you don't.
Oh, man, we do. As a matter of fact, we're dressed like Barbara right now.
What's your favorite Barbara song of all time?
Oh, God.
I know, probably one of the most difficult questions you've ever been asked.
Mine is Stony End.
Oh, really?
That's a real song. I'm not trying to make some kind of a joke. Excuse me?
Are you stoned now? No. It would be one of the songs from Funny Girl. It would probably be like some of her famous ones.
She had a real fun song. Going down to Stony End, I never wanted to go.
Yeah, but I'm with him. I like Don't Rain on My Parade.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was tremendous.
Remember when she's on the tugboat?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, do I love that scene.
And, you know, she's got a new movie coming out. And I read a magazine article that said that she's just impossible to deal with because she's been directing this movie. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt right now and give this guy the award for having the most patience.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a round of applause for actually staying on the line with us.
Mm.
Yes, there's an grunt.
Have you heard about her new movie and what a problem she's been?
I don't know if she's been a problem. I think that, like any filmmakers, there are problems with going along and making something of that magnitude.
Temperamental with a capital T.
Well, listen, we want to wish you best of luck. Now, the closest that our radio show has heard out there is in KHTK in Sacramento, which is a dreamy little town just up the road from San Francisco. And
yeah.
I think if you try, you could even pick up our radio station there.
Some people call it Sacratomato.
So you can find out what we're all about. We'd like to call you again sometime in the future. Would that be all right?
Well, that would be all right.
That'd be just all right, or would it be dreamy?
It'll be dreamy.
Is there any chance you could say Don and Mike are gay?
Well, Don and Mike are gay, you know what I mean?
You are dreamy, Niles.
That's right, there you go. Is he gone?
Yes.
And for all those homophobes out in the audience, it took a real man to stay on the line there.
Sure did.
There you go.
A real macho man.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Forget it! I fought worse monsters than you for years in Hollywood. I know how to win the hard way.
Miss Crawford, we don't want any hard feelings.
You don't know what hard feelings are until I come out publicly against your product and you'll see how much you sell.
Please, Miss Crawford, it's hardly necessary to make threats you surely don't mean.
Don't f*** with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo. You forget the press I delivered to Pepsi was my power. I can use it any way I want. It's a sword. Cuts both ways.
The Don and Mike Show.
It relaxes and centers you. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, we have three wacky stories of which we should get an answer. Here's the first one. From Wyoming. This would just be a chance for us to scream, because there's a town in Wyoming that is considering a law. Today, the city council is considering a law that will ban people from yelling and shouting.
Okay.
Okay, so we could call and scream at them.
All right, good.
Then, there's this story from Mexico City. Ah, those Mexicans.
And it's a good chance to play that tape that we have.
Hurling cow dung, obscenities, and anti-American slogans. Peasants. Marching in memory of Mexican revolutionary Emilio Zapata clashed last week with police guarding the U.S. Embassy.
Viva Zapata!
No one was injured. Damn Yankees and killers, the small group shouted. Police stood passively, using their thick plastic shields to protect themselves from the cow feces.
Oh, my God.
That protesters brought in big garbage bags. Or this one. Okay, so you got the screamers in Wyoming.
Yes.
The Mexicans in the cow poop.
Right.
Or you got this one.
Okay.
The Pope has been criticized by an Italian cardinal. He accuses the pontiff of elevating too many to sainthood.
Oh, really?
Quote, Cardinal Sivaglio Adi says the Vatican has become a saint factory. Now, we can call.
Right.
Now, listen. If the Pope is really going crazy, making everybody a saint, this may be our only chance.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we'll have another chance after this.
So those are the choices. We either call and we scream it in Wyoming, or we call the U.S. Embassy where the Mexicans were throwing poo.
Right.
Or we call the Pope to find out if we're going to be made saints.
I love to yell. Yelling is actually something I really enjoy doing. And
I know where you're going. Give me the Mexican music.
And I think that, you know, we could call them.
My choice too simply masked by the other two stories. So as not to draw the ire of the Hispanic community, as I am often wont to do.
All right.
If this was just going to be one of our standard slander the Mexican segment.
Sure.
All right, let's go. From Mexico City.
All right.
Find out, I'm not sure what questions we're going to ask, but...
How is everybody doing? Do they really hate Americans there?
Did they really throw cow poo at the cops?
Cat chips.
Hello?
And, you know, I hate to be the ugly American, but if they're so unhappy with America, then why do they keep coming over the border?
Can I help you?
Yes, hello. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show from America. We were, is this Mexico City?
Yes, sir. This is American Embassy in Mexico City.
Oh, thank God. God bless the United States of America. Listen, we were calling about the group of Mexican peasants that were throwing cow poo last week during a big clash
outside the U.S. Embassy?
A big anti-American demonstration. Have things calmed down there?
I can help it.
What? Okay.
She said, hold a minute, please.
I thought she said, hold this.
You take this now! I throw my cowboy. Pedro says, hey, kids, scream real loud.
You'll never saw such a place.
Hello?
South of the border.
Hello?
Yeah?
Yes, hello. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show now. Can I ask who you are, please?
Just a moment, sir.
That would be the third person we're going to.
Her name is Just a Moment, sir.
Just a Moment.
I know her sister. Can I put you on hold for a moment, please?
Great motel rates.
South of the border. Huge firecrackers. South of the border. 43 miles. The Africa shop. South of the border. Pedro says, hey, kids, scream real loud.
And this music, what is it? Now, is this patriotic music we're playing? American music?
It sounds like classical.
Pedro says...
Hello.
Hello.
Bueno.
Hello. Bueno.
Bueno.
Sí, bueno.
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 Do you speak English?
Yes, I do.
Hello. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, we're doing a national radio show right now from America.
This is a live interview?
Yeah, sí.
Oh, okay.
We just have some small questions we would like to ask you.
Pedro says, watch out for the cow dung.
Yeah. We wanted to know about the demonstration last week in which peasants were throwing cow poop at the embassy.
Okay. Just hold on a second, please, because I wouldn't be the person to talk to.
Was there
the person to talk to is on the line.
Well, can we ask you? Can I ask you one question? Was there really a demonstration last week?
Yes, there was.
See. Did they really throw cow poop?
A what?
Did they really throw cow poop?
Cow manure? we heard the peasants were throwing cow manure at the police.
Oh, I didn't see that. But just please hold on a second.
Exactly who we'd be waiting to talk to?
To the press...
attaché?
Adjunct press attaché. For
the press briefcase?
Electronic media.
Electronic media?
You press your luck. Peter to Mark and watch everything,
whammy. Whammy. Whammy, whammy, whammy.
The whammy is coming across the screen.
Are you an American?
No, I'm Mexican.
What are you doing working in our embassy then?
You know, all the embassies have local engagement.
That's right. See, she had that answer for you, all of them.
When I am president, I will change that rule. I will have only Americans in my embassies.
Okay. So why don't you give me your phone number?
I would rather talk to the man right now.
Is the press attaché? Is he in his attaché case?
He is on the line right now.
Oh, he's on the line.
Who is he on the line with? We have a national radio show.
Yes, but we didn't know you were going to call us at the hotel. So if you give me your phone number, we'll try to call you back.
How many Taco Bells are there right now within sight? How many Taco Bells?
I have no idea.
Out on the street?
I don't have any idea.
Do you eat a Taco Bell?
No, I don't. I'm Mexican. I prefer Mexican tacos.
Oh, there she goes. Touché for her.
Okay, so if you give me your phone number...
Which do you think is a better country, Mexico or the United States?
What is this?
This is my simple test to find out where your loyalty truly stands.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to answer that. But
smart lady.
You give me your phone number.
No, wait, hold on. Really. Hold on a second.
I don't think she would answer your question.
Which nation do you think is better, America or Mexico?
Every country has nice things.
But which is better, America or Mexico?
I wouldn't know.
Which is more happening? Which is the trendier country?
I cannot answer those questions. Look, really...
Do you not have an opinion?
I do have an opinion, but I am as an ordinary citizen. I'm here working.
Listen, here's what I'm saying. If you're working at the American Embassy...
Yes.
Then your loyalty should be to the United States of America. Raise your right hand right now. Raise your right hand.
I need your phone number, and we will call you back, but I cannot continue with this conversation.
Raise your right hand right now. I, Rosie Perez. Who was the one from the O.J. trial?
Rosa Lopez.
Rosa Lopez.
Hey, Johnny Carver.
Can I tell you something? I feel you work for me because it's my taxes that pay your salary.
Uh-huh.
So would you please give me a cup of coffee?
A cup of coffee?
Because you work for me.
Listen,
so you get it? I'm
no joke. Really, we're doing here. We're working here. And I'm not going to answer this kind of questions. I mean, we are here to respond serious.
Okay, very serious. Can we? All right, then. Hold on. Turn
if
the music off.
If you have an inquiry, we will try to call you back.
All right.
Please give me your phone number.
Here is our serious question.
Okay.
Very seriously, did the protesters throw cow manure at the embassy last week? That is our serious question.
Okay, I wouldn't know because I wasn't here at the moment that the demonstration.
Have you heard anything about it though?
No, I haven't heard.
Was it a big? Was it a big demonstration?
It was not that big. But I told you I cannot answer the.
That's right. The press guy can answer the question. Okay.
Yes. If you let me just phone number.
Would you tell the press guy that Mr. Aaron Spelling is on the phone?
Aaron.
Aaron Spelling.
Spelling.
Spelling, the man who invented the love boat, the man who brought us Melrose Place, 90210.
How old are you?
Father of Tori.
Yes, I know who Aaron Spelling is.
Well, would you please tell them that Aaron Spelling is on the phone?
Is it true?
Yes. The man who brought you Charlie's Angels.
And what is Mr. Aaron Spelling doing in a radio station?
He's here doing an interview today. Please tell the attaché that Aaron Spelling is on the line.
He won't believe me.
We'll put him on. He'll see. It's Aaron Spelling.
This is not a live program, is it?
Yeah, we're live right now on the radio.
Yes. As we told you 5 minutes ago.
Believe it or not, we do this every day.
Why don't you leave me your phone number and we'll call you back?
Oh, she wants that phone number bad.
Don't you think our show would go over great in Mexico?
Yeah, do you think we'd be good in Mexico? Do you think we'd be funny? And,
with a high unemployment rate, there is a whole, look at that, a whole audience of gringos waiting to listen.
Of course, there's that English-speaking thing.
Oh, but they could speak, hey, listen.
We'd need to have the show interpreted.
No, they could speak English if they want to. How many times have you been in a place and you want, you go, hey, listen, can you help me? And you go, do you speak English?
Yes, I do.
And then as soon as you leave, they go, hey, I didn't feel like helping that guy out, so I told him I don't speak English.
Well, that's in the United States, though, not in Mexico.
Listen, this is the perfect show to listen to while you're watching a cockfight.
Uh-huh. Well, if you don't give me the phone number, I will have to finish the conversation.
All right, here's our phone number.
Okay.
Here is our phone number. It's 1-800-636-1067. That is our real phone number.
Where is it? In which city in the state?
Washington, D.C. And really, all kidding aside, we just want to know about the protest last week.
Oh.
About the throwing cow poo.
And your real name is?
My real name is Ken Stevens.
Oh, come on.
She's got incredible radar. She knows you're lying to her even when you know you're not using a name everybody knows.
She's not going to... My real name is Don Geronimo.
Who?
Don Geronimo.
Don Geronimo.
Hey, say that again. Don Geronimo.
I'm going to tell her that that's your name.
The name? Okay, listen, hold on. All kidding aside, we're disc jockeys. That's a made-up name. My made-up name is Don Geronimo. His real name is Mike O'Mara. Do you want to hear a jingle so you will know that these are our names?
Michael.
It's Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
No, Don and not Don and Mike. It's Don and Mike.
Okay, sorry. Don and Mike.
Mike.
Sí, bueno.
Okay.
Hey, play her a jingle. You should play her a jingle.
Okay, listen to this.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara,
WKFK. You hear that? That's our jingle.
Okay.
See, we are real.
I have a phone number here. And I'll pass the message to her, okay?
Okay, please tell Mr. Samsonite that we want to talk.
It's been wonderful speaking with you. You're a very nice lady.
Okay, same for me. Have
Listen,
a nice afternoon.
One more time, though.
Okay, bye.
Which is better?
Okay.
United States or Mexico? Which is better? If you had the chance
both
to leave...
Both countries are nice, okay?
But if you had the chance to leave Mexico to live in the United States, you'd do it in an instant, right? If you could legally get out of there, you'd come live here, wouldn't you?
I haven't tried, and I don't know.
But if you legally could get... Let's say that I was going to bring you over to be my maid. You would do it in a second, wouldn't you?
Of course I wouldn't. I have university degree studies, and I never work as a maid. Okay? Look, guys.
No, you did it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
That was the one that went over the edge.
That was over the top. That was the slam dunk. That was the one from 3-point range right there. Come over here to be my maid.
Well, we never found out. All we really wanted to know was whether they're throwing cow poo or not.
Yeah, well, the press attaché was in his case.
We'll be right back.
The triumphant return of the Phone Booth Olympics as we get someone out there to run from phone booth to phone booth for fabulous prizes here on the Bob Boucher Show. Calling the closest location that Rob could find today.
Yes, Bob Mose was just down the street getting this location at the Price Club Plaza in Fairfax, Virginia.
Maybe in future days you'll be able to really venture out somewhere like, Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
These are all cities that are very close. Arlington.
Centreville. Which, incidentally, is the proper pronunciation of that town.
Yes. Hello?
Centreville.
Hello, who is this, please?
This is Bill Mosier.
It's Bill Mosier. Hi, what's your real name, please?
James Ledoux.
Hi, James. Where are you from?
I'm in Fairfax right now.
All right. I give you a chance to win some fabulous prizes. Now, you see there at the Price Club, you got your Price Club.
Uh-huh.
And you got your Home Depot.
I see it.
And you got your Sports Authority.
I see it.
Now, I will tell you this, that this is a very dangerous parking lot to navigate your way around.
You bet it is.
Because as you can see now, from the artist rendering, Mike,
mm-hmm.
Here's your Price Club.
Got your Price Club right there at the top of the picture.
Then you got your road.
That's
you
the main drag.
You got your two-lane road.
Very dangerous.
Then over here, you got somebody else showing up there, Bob?
Sounds scary.
Bob Mosier?
Nah.
You got your Sports Authority here. And you got your Home Depot here.
Yeah, once you make it across that two-lane road, you'll be okay. But you have to be very careful because although we'd enjoy the ratings benefit of you getting struck by a car, we really wouldn't want to see you get hurt.
Can I get a bonus price if I get hit?
$106 in instant cash if you're hit by a car.
All right.
Now, I asked my production assistant, Bob Mose. Bob?
Oh, Bob.
Oh, Bob Mose?
Uh-huh.
I'm talking to the other Bob Mose.
Oh, sorry.
You were actually out there today.
Yes.
How long would you estimate it would take a man of your size and Herman Munster feet to get from Price Club to that one?
That one?
What would you estimate?
Running as fast as that guy could or as fast as
you could?
I could. 8 hours? No. No, probably a minute.
A minute?
I don't know. I drove to all the phone booths.
He drove.
In his oversized American car.
All right. Thank you, Bob Mosier.
Thank you.
All right. Bob Mosier there. We'll give you 60 seconds. When I start the music, you hang up, and are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
I'll have the phone waiting for you by the hot dog vendor at Home Depot. Get there in a minute, win a prize. Go!
All right, he's on his way. This is a more dangerous trek than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going across a two-lane road with real traffic. This isn't your average kind of parking lot trek.
And that's a ways away. Keep in mind that the boy, RJ, drove to...
Oh, are you the real Bob Mosier?
What? That's the what?
A public phone. He hung up. I guess you can call it back because this is the phone that we want him to answer.
It was a different Bob Mosier.
Yeah. Now, we've got some of those people. You know, a lot of times with the Phone Booth Olympics, folks go to all the different pay phones because it's a fabulous spectacle to watch.
It's been 44 seconds now. Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
This is a public phone.
Well, wait a minute. Why are you doing... We're playing a radio game right now.
Oh, you are?
Yes, you know that. Hang up the phone.
No.
Hang it up.
All right.
Hang up.
Hold on. It's me, Bill Mosier.
There he is.
There's our guy. And you know, he just made it in 58 seconds.
58 seconds. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Okay, you've won a UPN prize pack. With a T-shirt, a baseball cap, and a backpack.
A T-shirt, a baseball cap, and a backpack?
Oh, the fabulous riches that are yours. Now, what is going on there, Bob?
There are a bunch of people clambering around trying to get the prizes.
All right, well, you're the only one who can run for prizes, but I'm going to put the pressure on you now.
Uh-huh.
I want you to run back to the Price Club. But you have to do it in 45 seconds or less.
45 seconds.
Ready, go.
Go, he's off. Now we're sending him back across the street to the Price Club. This is where he's really going to throw caution to the wind.
And I haven't even sent him over by Sports Authority yet.
Oh, dear. That's going to be another trek across the two lanes. Unfortunately, the phone is ringing now. We're not getting the guy saying, this is a public phone.
Well, you know, whenever we do this, we gather a crowd out there, and I bet he has his crowd of onlookers.
Right. Of course.
All of them wishing him well and wishing it was them.
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be tough. This because I really think he sounds like a quick guy.
37. Oh.
Oh, my God, all the humanity.
Apparently, that's a fax machine now.
Oh,
here.
Hold on.
Well, it's a benefit for this guy. Are you going to, you know, he could be there.
Oh, now he's busy.
Oh, no, now he's.
Hold on.
Calling the phones outside the Price Club.
Ah, there you go. He's got an extra 10 seconds now.
Yeah. Okay.
It's 58 seconds now. We're past the minute mark. Hello? Who is this?
My God, a child has answered a public phone. What's going on?
Where's your mommy or daddy?
It's the bad man.
Hey, it's me, the bad man. Hey, did I call the payphone in front of the Price Club? This is Jimmy, the intern's fiancé we're speaking to right now. hang up the phone, please. Perhaps I misdialed.
Okay. It didn't sound like an outdoor phone. It sounded like you called some sort of daycare center. But this is a benefit for Bob Moses.
Oh, he's now, it's a minute.
Hello, 40. Down to Mike.
There
Bob,
he is.
Bob, hey. Hi, Bob.
You're trying to kill me.
Bob, you've won a free chicken Caesar or Garden Ranch stuffed pita at Wendy's.
Ah.
Now, you ready to go for the big prize now?
What's the big prize?
Aerosmith tickets.
Oh, cool.
Are you ready?
Yeah, what is it?
Here we go. In 35 seconds or less,
uh-huh.
Run to the phone booth. Near the far corner at the Sports Authority. Go! Go!
I see him going.
All right, he's off now. He only has 35 seconds to make it to the far corner of the Sports Authority. Hopefully there will be not a guy with a turban answering the phone and saying it's a public phone, and there will not be a 3-year-old girl picking up the phone either.
Mommy, it's the bad man.
No, I'm like my brother.
Listen, you're screwing it up for this guy.
Oh, he's coming.
No, but you're really screwing up the game.
No, I have to.
Why do you have to?
I let you go.
Oh, God, then he...
Oh, boy.
Everybody's a helper.
Hell happens every time we play the phone booth Olympics. There's always somebody wants to be Mr. Helper. Sit in your cars and enjoy watching him run.
He gets hit by the car, he wins $106.
And you're on hand to say you saw it.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk to you.
Yes.
Same guy again.
Same guy.
No, it's not. It's a different guy. That guy just drove off. But he hasn't arrived yet. It's going to take more than 35 seconds, though. It's farther than the depot.
So we got our on-scene reporter. This is our Keith Economaki.
Yeah.
Mr. Helper. Well, listen, I'm going to call back. Just let the phone ring.
All right. Well, okay. I see him in view, so call back.
All right.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. More help. Well, see, it's irresistible, Buzz.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to play this game.
Well, of course.
They want to be involved, Don.
Obviously, he's not going to make it in the time allotted here.
No. And he'll be tremendously out of breath because it's quite a long jog.
That's a long way from Sports Authority to Price Club, I guess. It's a good thing you took your car, Rob.
Rob drove over the curb. He wanted to measure it out perfectly.
Excuse me, officer. I'm just measuring it. Don't you know Bob Mose?
Bob Mose.
Well, we seem to have called a fax machine again. We're going to call a public phone.
Trying now.
At the corner of the Sports Authority, there's someone on the phone now.
Busy now, all right.
Trying desperately to get in touch with our original contestant, Bob Moser, who may win Aerosmith tickets. It's totally at the discretion of Lord Quizmaster.
A lot of people think fun is easy, but it's not. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
If people were in this studio right now, they would see that Don's...
I'm getting an ice cream headache.
And his left index finger is actually... Don, is that blood? Do I see blood on the end of your finger?
Yes, but from something earlier, Mike.
Thought it was due to overdialing.
I don't want to talk about it, okay?
I understand.
It's a personal problem.
Same thing as last month?
A little different.
I'm sorry.
Same family. Oh. Same family of problem.
I understand.
Well, what can I say? Ladies and gentlemen, it happens sometimes.
Yes, it happens that Bob Moser, we've lost contact with him. Perhaps he was hit.
Oh,
but at least he got some smaller prizes.
Well, I'll give him the Aerosmith tickets if the phone just rings.
Okay, now people on the phones all around the entire area.
Hello? Did it ring?
Hello?
All right.
All right. Oh, for God's sake.
All right.
right, listen, I know we have Keith Olbermann. Let me just call the phone booth back at the Home Depot. Maybe someone's watching over there and can tell us what's happening at Sports Authority.
Yeah, the Home Depot, they seem to be. We made contact over there. Now the phone is ringing.
Okay, this is at Home Depot, though, by the hot dog vendor.
Hello?
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike. Who's this?
This is Dar.
Hey, Dar, are you listening to our show right now?
No, I'm at work.
Well, are you the hot dog vendor?
No, I'm the guy who works outside.
Well, listen, can you see the Sports Authority from there?
Yeah, I can.
Can you yell over there and tell them to get off the phone that we're trying to call someone there?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Can I hear you yell over there?
No. He already hung up.
Yes.
But incidentally, on his business cards, they say, the guy who works outside.
As opposed to Rob.
Right.
The guy who tries real hard.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hello.
That's him.
Hey, it's me.
That's the guy.
Finally.
Bob Moser.
Hey, man, I've been waiting here. I ain't been ringing.
Oh, no, we called. It was busy. Was someone on the phone, Bob?
No.
Yeah. No, yes, yes, no.
No one was on the phone, but I am. You guys are trying to kill me. What do I get this time?
All right, listen. One last time.
Okay.
One last time. Right now, let's just see how fast you can go back to the phone booth at the Home Depot.
Uh-huh.
By the hot dog vendor.
At the Home Depot. I am there at the Home Depot.
Now, you're supposed to be at Sports Authority.
You're tricking me. Where am I? Hold on.
Wait a minute. Don distinctly told you to go to the far corner of the Sports Authority.
That's where I am. I'm sorry, guys.
All right, then go to the phone booth at the Home Depot. Go!
Okay.
Well, in fairness to Mr. Moser, you know, those big buildings, those prefab industrial structures all look the same.
All right, now, if he just makes it there, we'll give him the prize.
Hello.
Oh, jeez. Is this the guy who works at Home Depot?
Yes, it is.
Okay, don't pick up the phone. I'm going to call back. Don't pick it up.
And why don't you? And I got a tip for you. Why don't you try to get some work done?
All right.
The guy that works outside isn't working now.
Oh, hilarity ensues. Hello?
He made it.
Oh, all right.
Nice. Yeah.
Chicago!
Hey, who is this? Is it Don Mike?
Yes. Is this the guy that we've had running?
No, I've been running with him, but he's getting over here now. You want me to pass to him?
No, we've got the super VI here.
The phone wasn't working. Here he is.
VI means village idiot.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
Right,
yeah, okay, you win.
You did it.
Thank you.
Tickets to see Aerosmith.
I'm really interested in the Caesar pizza.
Pardon me?
He would rather have the pita sandwich than the Aerosmith.
No, it just sounds so good because I'm hungry right now.
Yeah, worked up an appetite.
There you go. All right, well, then we'll keep the Aerosmith tickets and you get a Wendy's pita.
Oh, man.
There you go. Another bright decision made by the Don and Mike Show here on Let's Make a Deal. Thank you, Bob Bonger.
Hey, is there any chance I could trade all that in to get into the studio next time they do the lesbian thing?
No.
He's got his own little fan club out
idiot.
There.
Idiot, hold on. Hold on a second. We'll be right back.
So we meet again.
Ready to join us from Connecticut.
Be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.